at Film Vault. Thank you for joining us on the Film Vault for a very special episode. Top 5 Movie Pet Peeves Part 2. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. Coming in studio soon, Mike Carano, great guest. But first, Anderson, let's you and me talk.
Let's chat it up, pal. Why do you sound so quiet?
Why do I sound so quiet? Fire me up. Pump me up. Gotta hear me. Okay. Gotta hear me. You don't have to be talent that way.
Settle down.
Well, I did
you
say that.
You sick fuck.
It's the second time I've said that
kid.
In the last 5 minutes.
Hey, by the way, numerous tweets coming in about 6-year-old in the back seat laughed when this happened. 10-year-old. Oh, what's going on? Everything just popped in.
Oh, hi. Hello, how are you?
I'm sorry, technical strangeness. So I am going to do my darndest. Oh, my darndest. Not to say the F word. Not to say the C word.
Wow.
Don't like to say the T word anyways. So, new Anderson in the house.
Your co-host from the After Disaster on the show today. Will this be, I want the listeners out there to listen with a close ear. Will this be a more disastrous episode?
Could be.
For Anderson.
I don't know why.
Will you slide off the rails a little bit?
I slide off the rails all the time.
Ironically,
Robert.
Anderson's the one who's the conductor.
Anchor.
The conductor over there at the After Disaster.
It's
he keeps the trains running on time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little hat. Overalls?
Telling you, the After Disaster definitely helps my performance on this program because whereas I would love, to talk about my bus experiences and how great it was today, where I was on 3 separate buses and actually you made some friends with a little girl, 9-year-old named Gabby, and
Anderson.
Her grandmother.
That's such a Corona move.
A kid named what was his name? Blake, 14-year-old, going to Santa Monica City College. Had a great conversation with all these people concurrently, and I'll talk more about that on the After Disaster. Normally, if it wasn't for the After Disaster, I'd be boring our listeners here with it. And when they just want to hear about movies.
Exactly.
Moves. Oh. Huh? Quick couple pieces of business, Bri.
Let's hear it.
First of all, I would like to personally, this is very rare for me to give a shout out, but I would like to personally thank, this is twofold. One, I have a hard time emailing back. That's no joke. I have a hard time emailing back from my site. So I read all your emails that you send to AndersonCallen.com. However, I have a hard time.
You don't get around. They don't all warrant. A
what happens
response.
Is they filter straight to my real email, and if I did that, then it would just, my real email is all already a mess. You know, and I can't be using that as my personal email as well as my work email. But I read them there, but then I would have to log off. It's a whole process. So, anyways, I recently got an email from Josh Chansky that he's at his workplace, and he actually has his workplace clicking through Amazon. His entire workplace. It's a big place that he works. And
thanks,
all
Josh
the stuff
Chansky?
That they buy, they click through Amazon. So hey. I appreciate that very much. Josh
Chansky, MVP.
And
most valuable purchaser.
That's it, I guess. That's all I got. Let's get to the stuff.
You promise?
Let's do Flick Fest.
Let's Flick Fest. We got to get Carano in here. We got fucking major talent sitting out there in the fucking green room.
You keep saying that. I feel like you're saying it tongue in cheek, and I don't like that.
Who booked him?
That's true. It's always Brian. Whenever we have Carano in here, it's Brian trying to live down the hatred that they have for one another.
That's exactly what it is.
Arch nemesis.
You're so astute. Oh, it's gone from nemesis to arch nemesis.
Oh, yeah. Who else?
The difference between arch nemesis and nemesis.
He'd be even more of a nemesis if he didn't have such a full head of hair, but I think it works. You know what I mean?
We're inverted.
Whenever Brian and Mike Carano are in the same room, I just catch Brian just staring at his full head, Carano's full head of moppy hair, like longingly.
Do I do the thing where like I squint my eyes and I bite my lip and I?
It's always out of the corner of your eye. Always.
Yeah.
All right. Look at this. No cussing so far. Like 5 minutes in. Let's go.
I'm doubling down.
What do you mean?
First,
what do you
fucking
mean?
Flick fashions.
Stop it, dude. Come on. There's a little kid in the back
seat. A little kid in the back seat.
Did you read that same tweet?
I did. And he's like, he laughed hard, Anderson. I'm like, oh no, that's the last thing you want. Number one movie that I saw. I'm not going to do worst to first. That's Anderson's thing. I don't want to copy.
I don't think I can do that this week.
Ooh.
Because I have such a triangular of odd films, apples, oranges, and bananas. I mean, none of these movies have anything to do with one another. It'd be really hard to rank them. I'll do it anyways when we get to Flip Fashion. Go.
First. Apropos to current events, Anderson. We do our best not to timestamp the show outside of the gambling segment, obviously, at the end of the show, which is a little, you know, 5-minute thing to acknowledge current movies. We do our best. If you download a Film Vault show from 2 years ago, I want you to enjoy it as though it was the same as a Film Vault show that came out last week. I want it to be timeless.
Welcome to the gays. Getting married. Fantastic.
Apropos. Speaking of current events, I saw a documentary called 8, The Mormon Proposition.
Ooh.
Speaking of gays getting married, mm-hmm. The Supreme Court just today, they found the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional, and it's an oversimplification to say they upheld gay marriage, but they're allowing the states to make their own decisions, states' rights, blah, blah, blah. I saw 8, The Mormon Proposition, a documentary that came out 3 years ago, 2010, directed by Stephen Greenstreet and Reed Cowan. Hey, any relation?
None.
None? Well, it's good to see someone named Cowan actually making movies. 8, The Mormon Proposition. Premiered.
What a jerk!
Premiered at Sundance. I liked it. Have you seen this movie?
No.
I like this movie.
Watch things with Mormon in the title.
Mormon, and it's by and for gays. Oh, no, it's by gays. I should say it's a gay slant.
Strike 2?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Wow, what?
I did like it. I liked the movie. But as with any politically motivated documentary, Anderson, now I'm dying to see a movie made about the same subject from the Mormon proposition point of view. I want the Mormons to make a movie and say this is our side of the story. Mm-hmm. Because it's pretty the Mormons
you know
are bad guys.
What's the rating on this one?
It's probably PG or PG.
I was hoping to say
it's
R.
A documentary. Maybe not.
I'd say their answer would just be they clean that one up and re-release it as a clean flick.
Clean flick style.
Yeah. That's their response.
It's rated R, so that joke works.
Is it really rated R?
Oh, it's rated R? Thank you, Logie! It's hard not to cuss.
I guess there might be some cursing.
Do you realize I called you a jerk moments ago?
Yeah, you jerk. What did you want to call me?
Kid in the back won't ever know.
Yes. They offered a half-hearted response, Andrew, in the Mormon church. They were like, we haven't seen it. And that's a mini...
It's because it's R-rated.
It's a mini movie pet peeve for me. I fucking hate when someone's like, okay, there's a movie made about your life. Oh, I'm not really going to see it. I'm not interested in that. There's a movie made about your life. Whether it's good
or
positive or negative.
I think that there is a human being. I think there's probably many of them that live amongst us that would not watch something made about their life. You're projecting yourself.
No, I want to know what's out there.
You would read anything about yourself. You would watch anything about yourself.
I want to know what people are thinking about.
Obsessively
masturbating.
I shouldn't have said that. But you touch yourself to things about yourself. Because that's how much Brian, the ego on you, the narcissism.
You got me.
Oh, it's thick.
Narcissism. You think I'm a narcissist?
Thick. Absolutely.
Anderson, I'm so fucking far from narcissist. I'm incredibly.
You're a swearing, cussing narcissist. We all know it.
It's far. It's false. False. I'm a very conscientious and courteous, my fellow man. I'm the opposite of a narcissist.
Fellow man. Can't wait to watch and talk about your goddamn book about yourself. What's your book about there, buddy?
I can't.
It's all about you.
Are those speakers on in there?
Who sits around writing about themselves all day other than a narcissist?
Well, I got paid a handsome fee, so it's a job. Mm-hmm. It's my job, Anderson.
Okay.
You understand?
I was actually brushing my teeth this morning thinking, fuck, oh, shit. God damn it.
You made it. You made it 11 minutes into the show.
But I was actually brushing my teeth thinking, oh, man, when that book comes out, like when if he actually does like a little interview or whatnot, like Brian is going to be in his element to like beyond more than any of you listening have any idea. He's going to wake up with twinkles in his toe steps. He's gonna wake up with morning breath.
That's right.
And
which
happily,
I'll promptly get rid of.
No, we'll talk about that later, actually. But he's going to be
morning breath?
He's going to be so happy every goddamn day. It's going
to
be tough.
I only want my story to get out there to inspire people.
The cancer might actually just fly out of your head.
Wouldn't
you'll
that be
just
amazing?
Will it away because you'll be so excited about going to these little junkets.
I don't want to talk about the book because I think it might upset Carano. But seriously.
Brian's got a little joke, and it actually is kind of funny. It's like, and he'll just say, do you think it's going to upset? We'll use Mike Carano as an example. Do you think Mike Carano will be upset when the book comes out? Suggesting that he says horrible things about Mike Carano in the book. And he's done this with numerous people over the last couple months. Like, I'll just get a random tweet in the middle of the day. Do you think producer Ann of Loveline will be upset when the book comes out?
It
makes me laugh every time.
I feel like I have. If I send you one, do you think you'll be upset when the book comes out?
That's where you started, my friend.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't care. As long as it's true, you can say all the horrible things about me that you like, as long as it's true.
It's only going to take up a chapter and a half.
Okay, continue talking about the Mormon proposition.
My greatest dream would be for you to wake up out of bed cranky, turn on the TV, and there's me talking about the book.
Well, guess who never wakes up cranky ever again once they start doing book junkets about themselves in their own life? You.
No, I want you to wake up cranky. Mm-hmm.
Remember when you're going to be on Jeopardy and I was like watching random bald people on not Jeopardy, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I was watching random bald people
bald
pretending they were you, rooting against you, like in preparation for your actual day. I was. That's a true story.
Yep. But I'm the narcissist.
That's narcissism. I just
hoping for
against
something
you.
Bad to have someone happen to someone
that's
so you can prosper.
Misanthropic, maybe.
Okay.
Misanthropic.
Schadenfreudian.
Talk about movies now.
the Mormon proposition. There's some silly B-roll, kind of some juvenile stuff. Like they're talking about all the money that got funneled into the proposition by the Mormons, and then it cuts to like some B-roll of like someone peeling off $100 bills off of a stack of money. So it's kind of a amateurish made movie in a lot of ways, but effective, interesting, shed a light on a lot of things I didn't know about. Number one, the Mormon Church and their elders and who they consider to be clerics.
Let's pretend that I wanted to watch this, Brian. Not that I do, especially on this show, but let's pretend. Where would I find this movie?
This was actually on the documentary channel. I checked it out on the documentary channel.
Okay,
you get that one?
Yes, I do now.
Yeah.
That joke is no longer prevalent.
I still want to be a joke. I wonder if you got it. Because you'd love it.
I do have the documentary channel.
Have you watched things on it?
I've checked it out. There's not a whole lot of great stuff on it.
There's good things on it.
I noticed there's a lot of movies you've talked about recently on there. Always.
Anyway, eighth more.
I get the feeling this happens. Like you're sitting around and you're just going, oh, geez. Oh, shoot. I need to see three movies before tomorrow. And you're like, let's see what's on the documentary channel. Quickly. What's happening?
That's right.
Is that how it goes?
That's exactly how it goes. Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
Talk about your next movie
there. And I fast-forward throughout the movie so I can get the gist.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a movie about zombies, Anderson.
Oh, yeah?
I saw a movie about zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Warm Bodies from earlier this year, 2013.
Well, I like that misdirect.
Yeah, sent you one way, and the other. Yeah. Warm Bodies, directed by Jonathan Levine, director of 50-50, my favorite year.
As well as The Wackness.
Of that year. I've not seen The Wackness.
Hey, you're doing okay living your life without seeing The Wackness.
Yeah.
You'll be okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Warm Bodies was released earlier this year. It stars Nicholas Hoult. Hoult?
You know, it's about a boy, right? Isn't that about a boy kid?
Is he the grown-up about a boy kid?
I think so.
I didn't fucking know that. I knew he was British, but I didn't know
him. Let's not cuss.
Also, Teresa Palmer, Rob Corddry, excellent Rob Corddry, Dave Franco, the little Franco, Annalee Tipton, who is the sister in Crazy Stupid Love, and John Malkovich. Sweet movie. I thought it was a sweet movie. I thought it was a clever movie. I liked the Rob Corddry character very much. He was he had the line of the film. I will not spoil it, but he had the line of the film and made me laugh out loud. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it in the theaters.
What'd you think?
Didn't really do much for me.
You didn't find it clever or cute?
I don't remember it, and that says a lot right in itself. And I flickfest it, and if I were to go back and find where I flickfest it, I'm sure that it would sum up exactly how I felt about the movie. I remember I had a couple huge problems with it. Don't remember what they were offhand. And like I said, I thought the kid was good. Thought he did a pretty good job. A lot of ridiculousness. Something about the relationship really, really bothered me.
It did boring, kind of accelerate very fast.
And like, it accelerated way too quickly.
She developed Stockholm Syndrome super fast.
Well, yeah, I think they did it through a montage or something on the plane.
Yeah, she was like
didn't
in his
like,
plane.
Didn't like.
This is the story, by the way, of the post-apocalyptic kind of rom-com type, I guess, if you want to merge those two, zombie movie and rom-com together.
It's a
girl falls in love.
Romantic
zombie falls in love with a girl.
Deep comedy.
And through love, he starts to become less zombie-like.
Ooh, zom-com.
Yeah, zom-com.
Stupid.
Good stuff, man. Wonder if that was used in the reviews.
Sure was.
This is kind of gross for a PG-13 movie. The main character snacks on brains, Anderson, like the sushi. Mm-hmm. Like he's constantly snacking on brains. It's kind of gross. Overall, though, enjoyable, light, and best of all, short. Just 97 minutes. So check out Warm Bodies. I enjoyed that one. Okay. My favorite movie. Actually, you know what? It is worst to first. It's my favorite movie of the week.
Mm.
And I have a sneaking suspicion you don't like it as much as I did.
What makes you think that?
World War Z!
Ooh, what is that? Ow.
World
that
War
hurt
Z.
My ear.
World War Z.
Screamed World Z War part Z. So loud.
In theaters now, directed by Mark Forster, Swiss director with an up-and-down career, Monsters Ball, Finding Neverland, which I think was on my list of most overrated Best Picture
Mark
nominees.
Mark Forster, he's one of these guys you're never going to really hear his name a whole lot because he's kind of one of these he's like a hired hand.
Hired gun?
Yeah. It doesn't really seem like you can tell what his movies are from one to the next. Doesn't really have his fingerprints on them.
You're right.
Kind of like Joel Schumacher. Every movie is so different.
Quantum of Solace and Stranger Than Fiction, which I liked. I think this is his best movie, and I like this movie a lot. I really enjoyed it for some
reason. Please explain to me what you... this is none of my three movies that I'm going
to
flick back this week, so I will jump on with you.
I signed it to you.
Did you?
I absolutely did.
Well, I saw it. I don't know if I saw it.
Now you have to talk about it.
All right, but it's not going to creep in... I got three movies that are worth
pretty
talking
much,
about.
Pretty much the rule.
Zombie Z-Land is not one of them.
Pretty much the rule of this gambling segment.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about that together. Then you can have your three. And I still need my three, all right? Talk about narcissist. I got three movies I got to talk about.
How is that narcissistic?
No,
I'm
saying
rules.
I'm a narcissist because I got to talk about my three movies.
Yes, you do.
Let's talk about Zombie Z and why you like it so much.
At least a half dozen really well done individual action sequences. And if I had described the movie in one word, I would say relentless. It is a white knuckle ride, and it takes some very much needed breaths to sort of recoup.
So you were afraid for Brad Pitt getting caught by zombies and getting bit?
No, I was afraid for everyone else in the movie, every single person who was around him.
Mm-hmm.
I figured Brad Pitt had
were they all
a certain
expendable?
What are you talking about?
Was there anyone in the movie besides him that really you cared about at all?
There was the girl he kind of rescued. There was the Brad Pitt's character in this movie was very benevolent.
He's a perfect human
being. Very benevolent because he goes out of his way to rescue people who have no connection to him, like kind of random people, like the little kid in the apartment.
Superhero.
That apartment sequence was fucking great.
Was it?
It was awesome. Where they chased him onto the roofs and
The roof. That's a little shout out to Mr. Carano, who will be in here shortly. He says roof funny.
Some people say that.
Some people say often. Some people say often. That's become I'm obsessed with that. I'm asking everyone I know. Turns out my mom says often. That's where I got it from. All right. More people I've asked than not have said often.
Really?
We're talking about an email that Brian forwarded to me from an angry listener because he's upset that I say
from
often.
From a concerned listener.
Concerned listener. Okay. Here's the thing with Zombie Z. Yeah. World War Zombie is all the really exceptional parts of the movie. Have been seen by me a number of times over the last 3 months.
The Jerusalem wall climbing was awesome.
Yeah, well, that was seen at least a dozen times before I saw the movie. Because all the best parts are in the trailer.
It's a zombie version of Starship Troopers, the action sequences.
No, no way. Not even close, my friend. How dare you? Okay, first of all, I think that the CGI in Starship Troopers surpasses it. These are cartoons. These are cartoon zombies all the way. They're video game zombies. Those bugs look much more real life.
I have the exact opposite opinion. I thought the CGI was really effective.
Logan, please weigh in here.
The CGI was okay.
It was very questionable.
They're not zombies, though. They're infected.
They're Zeeks.
They call them zombies. They say in the movie they call them zombies because they didn't know what to call them at first. They thought they looked like zombies, so they started calling them zombies.
What is the book's name? What's the name of the book?
We can't compare the book to the movie at all. It's not
why?
Anything.
Okay, so Leonardo, I did a bunch of sleuthing because I was shocked that people liked this movie. All right, the end of the movie, I'm not going to give away the ending. I don't know you guys freak out with the spoilers and all that. I'm going to talk about a style, how the movie ends. Do you remember how the movie ends? Remember the last thing you see?
The last thing I see.
Please don't think that I'm going to spoil anything, all right? I'm not. All I can say is the last thing you see does not move because why? It's a fucking freeze. It's a freaking freeze frame. It's a freeze frame. They freeze frame like we're back in the 70s or something. I was just talking like last week about how that's the cheesiest thing you can do at the end of a movie.
That's
it's freeze
beef?
Frame.
That's your beef?
That's horrible, Brian. All right. All the best
back
parts.
To something I don't remember.
All the best. Because you forgave it,
so
probably.
Minor.
You shouldn't.
Yeah,
that should be like on my top five pet peeves today, for sure. You don't freeze frame at the end of a movie.
You're like the guy that sends back the steak because there's an extra grain of salt on here. There's too much salt. This grain of salt,
there's
too
a couple
much.
Creepy things that were in there that I didn't see. There's a scene where there's obviously something stuck in a head. I think they would have even shown it on AMC's Walking Dead. They didn't show it in this. It was really, really frustrating. Brian, we saw different movies, apparently.
You have a lot of problems that are outside this movie.
That was so obviously done because it was PG-13. The PG-13 was palpable. Palpable.
And I had the opposite opinion. I thought the PG-13 was used effectively in that it's like, okay, we have to get this square peg in this round hole. Here's the best way we can do it. And a lot of the blood and gore takes place off screen. I thought it was or outside the shot, I should say.
There's like two or three things that were cooler than – that were like – good to see that I had not already seen dozens of times in the trailer. All the best sequences.
The airplane
I had
sequence
seen,
was awesome.
That was in the trailer. I saw all that in the trailer. Nothing new there. Okay, go ahead, look.
I have to agree with you on the PG-13. There was no evidence of any bite marks on any person that got attacked, so I didn't know whether or not they were going to turn or not, and I was constantly questioning that.
There was a couple clever things, but I don't want to say them. You know, it's really a mixed bag here. People really like this movie, or they really don't. I'm one of the people that really doesn't. Now. I did some sleuthing, and I was up laying in bed next to the wife. So the wife and I saw it together, and I was just on my phone for about 2 hours reading about this movie. I became obsessed. It was like it's an Oprah-type factor where, like, it makes no sense to me that everyone loves Oprah. It makes no sense to me that everyone loves this World War Z. It's not adding up.
What did the wife think?
She didn't think it was as bad as I did. But it turns out Leonardo DiCaprio's production company, as well as Brad Pitt's, were in a bidding war for the book rights. The book sounds really, really interesting. If I liked zombies at all, I would be reading this book. Yeah. It takes place 10 years from the apocalypse, and it's all each chapter is like a different person's account looking back on what had actually happened, which sounds like a very interesting way of doing it. They had some really cool shit in the books. Shoot stuff in the book, including like
going back and saying
scene,
shoot doesn't make it
a
better.
A scene in Florida where like zombies are coming out of the water, or Zeke's, or the infected, and one woman's like laying there with her kid sunbathing, and she gets bit and then immediately eats her child. That would be creepy. That would be something new, but
that'd be awesome.
They struck it from the record, and
well, they can't do that.
I guess they talked about
one
that.
Story.
They talked about that. there's creative ways of doing it.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about it at the end. They set it up for a sequel. I want to see World War Z 2.
It was completely different. Like, it had to do with like organ harvesting and started in China.
I'm in.
It was kind of cool that they went all around the world, because I get really upset with these apocalyptic movies that only stay in one place. However, like, the whole Jerusalem part just seemed kind of like they were going to different countries for the sake of going to different countries. And then the end of the movie, I couldn't believe that it ended. It was like... It was like some kind of art house film all of a sudden. But then I read it's because they're banking on making this a trilogy, and that's the whole point. So
the nature of the book, I understand, lends it to it because it's individual capsulized
stories. Right, so the next one's not going to be Brad Pitt's again? Of course it's going to be Brad Pitt.
The book is Brad Pitt's character going around collecting these stories. He writes, it's like written in the, almost in the first person, but it's really written through the testimony of other people.
Have you read the book?
I have. And the book really is only about a third about the zombie apocalypse. The rest is all about how it affected people religiously, economically. It's really just dissects how it affects the world in a, as if it was a war.
Look at Logan with the book running. You're back up to 14%.
He's a big zombie guy. I felt like it was a lot of missed opportunities to do something new, and it was just the same old thing. There was nothing new there. There was nothing I hadn't seen before, and it's unfortunate that, especially after I read a review of a script from 2007, one of the writers, who's one of the main first writers, Logan, World War Z.
Max Brooks?
No, it's with a Z. They have readers read these things, and they review them. And this guy was so blown away by the script that the reviewer of the script was talking about how it might be up for Best Picture, and it's going to be amazing if it's treated appropriately.
Oh, and a cool news was fucking masturbating all over themselves.
Well, let's not language and say masturbate.
Sorry. They were jizzing all over themselves.
I think it's a den... I don't know. What the hell? Come on.
And a cool news was, what's the word? If you know, whatever. They were gushing in their praise.
So I read this full, like, 3-page synopsis of the original script, which I guess completely diverted. They diverted from the original script once they got to the plane. Everything after that was, like, new material and a bunch of stuff before that as well. But he's not even listed anymore.
The sequence where they had to get to B-Wing was great, too. There were so many great sequences in here.
J. Michael Straczynski. He's the guy.
The shootout on the rainy runway was great. There were a good half dozen great sequences.
I might really upset you and a lot of listeners when I come forth with this little piece of information. I saw this at a drive-in.
Anderson.
My first drive-in in about 25 years. People are dicks at drive-ins.
I'm so
a lot of milling about.
I don't feel like you've fulfilled your
a lot of hey, let's see if the brights will fuck up the screen. Yep, does.
Wow, this really explains a lot. This really explains a lot.
I have not seen a red laser pointer on a screen in 4 or 5 years. Saw a number of them.
14 or 15.
It was also happened to be on the night of the supermoon, so made it more difficult to see the screen. I was also terribly distracted.
No wonder the effects are terrible.
Trying to watch Man of Steel in one rearview mirror, and I was also watching the Monsters University in the other rearview mirror. I got to see 3 movies at once. It was pretty exciting. And then the best part, I think, was when the fireworks were going off behind the screen for no reason, just because they sell fireworks in that area. And people buy their fireworks, they can't help themselves.
Please, everyone listening who has not seen World War Z, take this into heavy account.
However, heavy. I did go in, because I've been seeing other movies, and I did sneak in, and I was watching bits and pieces of it throughout the week. And
so you totally made up for it then.
I watched some stuff.
You tell me not to watch movies on TV. This is the same thing.
Hey, here's the thing about driving movies.
You're amazing.
They're not that fun to watch movies on, if you care at all. It's just trying. It's okay, I guess, if you're going to see an old movie or a movie you don't care about.
Sure.
I could tell you what was going to be number one, though, just from my drive-in experience, because there's 4 movies there.
Oh, yeah?
And Monsters was by
Monsters
far.
You? Monsters U?
By far the busiest parking lot.
Wow. I will say, Anderson, it's a shame, but now I feel like I'm telling you something that you didn't know. The sound on this movie is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I've no
really
idea.
Liked it. You would probably listen to a little speaker in your
No. It's not like the 60s, but we had it through the stereo.
Really?
Yeah, you tune in to like 105.7.
Wow.
Bangsies.
Either way, it's a fucking, the sound.
Language,
great.
Come on.
Sorry, it's a
one guy at one point, he walked up to our car, knocked on the window and said, "Would you like to buy some churros?" And he had them like in a big bucket, like he handmade them or something.
Well, like, that is a cinematic experience right there. Please take that into account when listening, listeners. All right, Anderson, your three movies.
Can you believe that there's still drive-ins? There's
no,
one in Arcadia.
This is absolutely news to me.
Took only an hour and a half to get in there.
Arcadia's kind of far away.
Felt like it took an hour to get there, an hour and a half to get into the actual parking lot. It was not well organized.
That's also a very upscale, like, suburban area. It's a lot
negative.
Of chaos.
Negative. It's industrial and it's horrible. Arcadia is a scary place to be.
Well, I'm thinking of Altadena.
You're thinking of a very different place. Okay, let's do my here we go. Flick fashion. We'll try and get this quick so that we can have old Corona in here. Okay,
well, Arcadia is far away.
All right, so I saw Man of Steel. What's to talk about? Not much. I mean, I don't want to go on and on about superhero movies.
Do you agree with my assessment? No one will remember anything about this movie a year.
I barely do. I saw this like a week ago. However, there was some really strange, and I'm sure After Earth has been brought to my attention is a Scientology movie, or at least based in Scientology and a lot of the Scientology beliefs, and especially with the whole fear is a choice and all that stuff. This one definitely feels like it's made by the Christian right.
Mm.
At one point, I swear to God, Superman himself is he's got his arms stretched out like he's Jesus. Mm. And there's so much talk about him sacrificing himself for all of mankind, right? Did you pick up on this?
He's a martyr.
He's in a church at one point talking to a preacher or a minister, and there's Jesus is right there on the stained glass windows, like right in the same frame. Like it was overt. And then there was one sequence where a suicide mission accomplishes something that brings something down, and they come back to the fact that in death sometimes is as glorious. It sounded almost like Taliban rhetoric. Yep. It was bizarre.
It was 27 Virgins style.
So. A lot of eye candy. I wasn't sure if I liked the movements of them. It made me miss Terrence Stamp as much as I like Michael Shannon.
I agree. Shannon good, Stamp much better.
Really, really big ideas too. But I did like it more than World War Z, I can tell you that. I was watching both of them at the same time. I was comparing and contrasting at the same
time. Jesus Christ. You literally the ultimate test. Okay.
It's just it's fun to watch them try to figure out the right thing to do with these massive properties that they own. You know, they want to maximize the most out of these movies, and they see what Dark Knight did, and Christopher Nolan too. I was surprised to see his name on it. I didn't realize that he was one of the writers.
I think the reason it doesn't work as well as a lot of reasons, but the main overall fundamental reason, Dark Knight works as a sort of gritty, realistic blah 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 because Batman's a real dude who trains and has gadgets. Superman's a fucking magic being from another planet. It doesn't work in a very real. You want him to be the Superman. Superhero.
Henry Cavill was great. He really did a good job. Amy Adams was good. I kind of like the end where like you see where it's going for the next one. And you know what? I wanted to hate the first 30 minutes being an alien movie, but I liked it. Because I remember being a little kid going, you don't understand. Luke Skywalker's an alien. And Superman, he's an alien. I bet like in his real life planet, man, there's like creatures everywhere. And I liked how they kind of explored that. That was kind of fun.
There was some good looking stuff. Zack Snyder gave us a couple interesting things to look at, things I had not seen before. I liked the way the Russell Crowe sort of manifested himself, and the sort of 3D.
That reminded me of the Messenger with Dustin Hoffman.
The 3D iPad they had. Everything was in 3D with a little.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Like those metal things that you put your hand in. Yeah, there was actually some interesting stuff instead of just going down the whole tablet thing. Because now we all have tablets, so you can't do that. They had the silver vagina that was floating about, shooting things at people. It did look like a vagina a little bit, like a vulva.
I'm going to start calling Logan that.
The little kid in the back probably doesn't know what a vulva is, the back seat of the car.
That's not a bad word, then.
I can call you a vulva.
Go vulva yourself.
Your head looks like a vulva.
That's kind of true.
Buddy, come on.
What did you say?
Hey, all right. I saw a movie called The Bling Ring, Sofia Coppola. Based on the true life story of the kids from Calabasas who went and stole from celebrities a few years ago. It was all over the press. It was all over the news, especially if you're reading like Perez and TMZ and all that stuff. Huge, huge news. Mm. The wife was very excited to see this because it turns out that her little sister actually hung out with one of these people. All in the same kind of area where we live. They're actually commenting on things that were right down the street from where I was watching the theater, which is kind of interesting.
The Valley?
Calabasas and... this is the first one that I have seen made by Sofia Coppola since Lost in Translation. I saw Virgin Suicide. I saw Lost in Translation, and I've avoided her last two, Maria Antoinette, as well as Somewhere. I missed both of those. Bling Ring, I wanted to like it. Talking to the wife, saying I can't believe how bad that was. She said it's not made for people our age, even though she's younger than I am. She thinks that it's made for a younger generation. There's just so much fluff. There's really very little going on there. Kind of like The Kings of Summer. But Kings of Summer, I enjoyed much more. I wanted to like this one. Like, the opening scene is good.
Kings of Summer?
Her incorporation of the music is really good. Oh,
the house kicks in.
But it felt like a Harmony Korine movie without the style. Like, she doesn't have the ability to give it that style that Harmony Korine would give it. She pulled a lot of the dialogue, I guess, straight out of actual testimony and stuff. The kids would, for those of you not familiar, they would go on. They would see Perez Hilton was, like, in Vegas hosting some party at some club. So then they would Google her address, and they'd be like, let's go to Paris Hilton's house. She probably leaves the keys under the mat. Turns out she did, and they would just go and have a shopping spree in her house. Paris Hilton had so much stuff, didn't even know anyone was in there. They went to a number of people, Lindsay Lohan's house, and it documents all of this. I feel like I know a lot about that story now, but I was bored to death throughout a lot of it. Good kids, have good character, good actors. It lacked any kind of style that I could think, this is good filmmaking. It just felt like it was trying to be smooth, but it wasn't. It was just fluff. And I think that she, and I've listened to an interview with her since, Sofia Coppola I'm talking about, she I said that to the wife as well. She didn't pick a side. She didn't villainize these people, but she was also careful not to glorify them, or romanticize them. And I think in doing so, she kind of made something that wasn't really that I could get on board with. Leslie Mann was great as a mom, but she just played the mom. And Emma Watson actually was very good. Very good. She has an American accent throughout. I was thinking of you a couple times because I know how that's one of your pet peeves.
When it's unnecessary, a bad accent.
She had to have an American accent, and she was good. She was good. So there's The Bling Ring. I wouldn't run out to a theater to see it if I had to do it over again. And then I saw another documentary today. Just saw it today. It's called Dirty Wars, Brian.
I saw a trailer for this. Looks good.
Documentary all about JSOC, Brian. That's the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. Not directed, but starring, what's his name? That guy. What the fuck's that guy's name?
Come on, buddy.
Jeremy Scahill, who you've probably seen on Colbert Report or any kind of Fox News. He's done the circuits. He was big with the Blackwater a few years ago. And this is him in the middle of the war in Afghanistan and in Iraq and Somalia, and he's uncovering what was then a total mystery, which is JSOC and all of the secretive missions that were going on, which ultimately led to the death of Osama bin Laden, and now has been made into multiple movies, and we all know about it. But when he was making this movie, it was completely off the radar, and actually the government was actively denying any such organization that answered directly to the White House and had full authority to do whatever the White House wanted. It would have been a much more compelling story had we not known so much. That being said, it's still one of those movies that makes you ultimately very depressed. You feel helpless, and it's sad, and there's lots of questions that arise in your head. Very little style in this movie. I'm not saying that it needed it. If it needed anything, it needed a little bit less of the whole Jeremy Scahill. It seemed like it was definitely his story, but it was constantly going back to him and showing his reaction and his voiceover. As much as Michael Moore, except he wasn't dislikable like Michael Moore. This guy, he does all the voiceover. He sounds like Dexter, and he looks like a cross between Charlie Day and Bradley Cooper. Oh, you can imagine that.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not a bad combo.
Sure.
Scruffy. He thanks Michael Moore in the credits. But imagine Michael Moore has like a very, like if Michael Moore was his movies, this would be like his cousin who's very no-nonsense and just tells a story.
Right.
Even though he does have his take on it, he's not trying to put the bells and whistles on it. You know?
I'm pretty sure this is either on my top five or honorable mentions for most anticipated from Sunset.
Yeah, it's Sundance. I should have said, it's another movie that comes out of Sundance. I'll be shocked if this isn't up for best documentary. It'd possibly win by next February for the Academy Awards. Interesting and just so. Honestly, I don't like to get political, but honestly, I'm saying, all right, you know what? Shut your mouth. And I wasn't agreeing with him. And then by the end, I'm pretty much in agreement with him. What he's saying. And it's like there's a lot of pussy leftist shit going on in here.
Sure.
But by the end, I'm like, my God, where do we draw the line, people? A little bit. Oh, most ashamed to be an American quite some time since, I guess, Superman, because that's so goddamn over the top. But they had footage.
For about 3 days.
Yeah, about 3 days. They had footage. Osama, when they killed Osama bin Laden. I remember the wife and I were watching, like, truth be told, I think we were watching Survivor, and then we stopped it for a second. We saw that Osama got killed, and we're like, cool, and we just went right back to watch the Survivor. Honestly, I mean, what are you going to do? Yep. People amassed. Bunch
of
like,
any more dead.
Bunch of white fucks amassed out in front of the White House, and they were chanting USA and like and waving flags and stuff. It was they looked like they were at a
Nana goodbye.
They may have. They didn't show that in the movie.
I heard that.
I hadn't seen this because I'm not very well informed. I had not seen this until I saw this movie, and it was cringeworthy.
Really?
Especially when you're in the movie that watching Dirty Wars and you see what's leading up to it and like what's going on. Those white bread fucks out there in front of the White House, oh, USA, probably never stepped foot outside of, like, you know, their cushy surroundings. Fuck those guys. You know what I mean?
Well, most of the time a USA, USA chant is cringeworthy. I mean, I don't think
it looked
the
like they're like a soccer
the chant
game
is a little
something.
Bit, yeah, the chant's a little bit much.
But Dirty Wars, you should price it. If it's going to be limited release, it doesn't really move that quickly considering the stuff that they're covering. You'd think that it would really move a couple times. I'm like, how much longer?
Well, the good news is,
how much longer?
Is this available? I wonder if it's a simultaneous release with online. But regardless, this will probably be a movie that comes out available to rent well before the Oscar nomination. So put it on your feet.
Or it might get re-released again as well if it does get out. I can't imagine this not being a heavy-hitting movie. And like I said, if I didn't know anything about the Navy SEALs, the JSOC, and all that stuff, this would have been a huge reveal. And he kind of works that into the movie as well. Like, when the story hit, and he's like, all these guys that were completely undercover are now like on the nightly news. It's crazy. You know, these people that I was trying to uncover and get answers about that the U.S. government was saying, no, they don't exist, and this is all bullshit, are now being lauded as national heroes. Yeah. So,
coming up next, speaking of heroes, Anderson, national treasure, Mike Carano, joining us for Top 5 Pet Peeves. And I feel like we should pay tribute to somebody, some anonymous user, listener, fan,
user,
clicker, thrower, someone who bought a very expensive camera, a Canon digital camera kit, an entire kit, camera and accessories, it was not a cheap amount of money. So we appreciate you clicking through. We appreciate you thinking of the Film Vault. And thanks for clicking through at AndersonandBrian.com. Now, without further ado, the notable, interesting movie purchases, movies
okay,
and otherwise.
You're right. This is the Film Vault's lifeblood. Without Amazon, honestly, I don't know if you and I get together.
I agree. This is what brings us together.
So thank you very much, guys, for doing this and keeping the engine going.
It really is the plasma in our blood.
Without this, we're dead.
Yeah. Before Logan
Scary.
Doesn't show up for work.
We could probably do without Logan.
That's actually true.
Go ahead.
Movies are, why don't I keep saying movies? Interesting and notable purchases on the old Amazon. Someone bought a Sony receiver for their high-def system. Someone got a battery pack, some accessories, battery pack, and a flash speed light for the Nikon camera. Someone got something called Curly Sexy Hair Curling Cream. So good luck curling your hair. Someone got the pet pistol used to kill bed bugs, Anderson. Someone
That's
got
a misleading title.
Someone got four pairs of Dockers Men's Solid Suspenders, which means either they love wearing suspenders or perhaps they're outfitting groomsmen for a wedding.
Or perhaps
wedding
they're
season.
Skinheads.
Skinheads wear suspenders?
Absolutely. You don't know much about things around you, do you?
Go. Ironically, for being a skinhead, I don't really know anything about it.
Go.
Someone got a home charging station, which I assume is just some shit for charging everything in your home.
I don't think that.
Point is, it's very expensive, so thanks for buying it. Someone got a dual nozzle for their bidet. Someone got a Dwayne Wade swingman jersey. Good job, you fucking front runner.
Wow, hey.
Someone got a complete golf set, 18 pieces with clubs. Someone got some Ray-Bans, aviators, some, of course, astronaut ice cream, Neapolitan flavor. Someone got a fucking treadmill. Good job. Treadmill, Olympic surge bench.
Watch a little TV on there. Lots of movies while
That's
you're
right.
getting in shape.
A 50-pack of Sword of Variety Durex condoms. The I Love Rabbit vibrating cock ring, 4 inches. And someone got a chainsaw maintenance kit. So thank you, drifter or serial killer. Or DIYer, I suppose.
Gotcha.
Anderson?
Starting off a little different this week, Brad, because somebody bought not only movies, but a bunch of movie posters. All right, check this one out. 27x40 True Romance group movie poster. Fan-fucking-tastic. You know what? Back in the day, I used to have to scour the internet to find a place that actually sells movie posters. And once you get there, you just can't stop. You can't stop looking.
I love that movie.
They have different versions of them. So I don't... Like you had maybe suggested when we were going over these, maybe somebody's opening a video store. Very unlikely. I think this person's kind of a little bit like me, and they just couldn't help themselves. And like Monday, I'll just switch these out because they got a bunch. They got True Romance, like I said. They got Beverly Hills Cop, Blue Velvet, fantastic. Boogie Nights and Casablanca, all movie posters, all smart buys. Except for Casablanca. Except for Casablanca. Oh, look at they also got Major League movie poster. Can't believe they still make that. And what else? Reservoir Dogs. Look at that. Sleepaway Camp. What the hell is that? Oh, it's that movie. And The Prestige. Smart. And here are the movies.
Yeah, the actual movies you can watch.
Purchased
films
since last week. Groundhog's Day special 15th anniversary. Rocky. Not only Rocky, but Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hurts a big Russian.
And 5. Somebody about say anything. So I'm not going to say Terminator 2. Gets so much mention. The Blues Brothers. I used to say no, but now I say yes. Big Lebowski. Green Mile. Not going to say The Hammer. What about Bob? What about Bob? Holy shit. What about Bob is funny.
What about him?
God damn it, that's funny.
Underrated movie.
One of the greatest second viewings I've ever seen of any movie. What about Bob? Just sitting there laughing like a schoolgirl. American Psycho is bought on Blu-ray. Got to see that blood and pristine quality. Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. Now they're all... They're all cocked and primed and ready to go see Before Sunset, right? Right? After Sun Moon
What's
Rise.
The third one,
I don't know. I've seen none of them.
Before Dawn?
One of these days, I'm going to see all of them. Before Dawn is something completely different. Coen Brothers. Collection. Blood Simple. Fargo. Nose Crossing. And Raising Arizona. Not, what did I say? True Blood. Blood Simple. Bloody Simple Plan.
Bloody Simple Plan.
Not a Bloody Simple Plan, but Coen Brothers Collection. Fantastic, guys. Thank you very much for clicking through. Not only that, buying some really fantastic movies.
You really do actually help Anderson feel a little better about himself when you buy some lovely movies. So thank you for doing it. Now,
wait, what is the name of that goddamn movie? What is the name?
True Grit?
Sunrise. Sunship Down. Before Sunset's already there. Before Sunrise. Before Sunrise!
No, that was the original one.
What is it? This is horrible.
Sunrise, Sunset.
Oh, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset. What else is there? Damn it, I've seen it like 9 times.
Before Twilight?
I've been avoiding this goddamn movie like the plague
Before
because it's in every independent theater I go to. It's like, I don't want to see that.
Before Sun Flares? We're really messing this up. Logan, cut all this out.
No, what is it? What is it? Hold on. I will get it.
Before Midnight.
Before Midnight!
Thank you for waiting for that.
God damn it.
Now back to the show. Hi, I'm William Shatner, and you're listening to Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Another day so sick of air. Yes. Welcome back. Thank you. The Atomic Aces.
I like the Atomic Aces quite a bit.
Yeah?
Just from hearing what I've heard.
What's from Santa Cruz, California, Anderson?
Oh, I don't like them anymore. Fuck you, hippies.
Betty's Rage. ReverbNation.com/The Atomic Aces. They're our featured artist of the week. Check out AndersonandBrian.com. Our featured guest of the week, Mike Carano.
Hey, thank you guys for having me again.
Thank you for coming in, man.
Who screens out those bands for you? That's a lot of time.
It's all Logan. He earns that 15%.
How much time does he spend like listening to CDs?
If only he had a microphone.
I don't know. I hand him, I hand him music saying, hey, my buddy Drew, you might know him. His name's Dr. Drew. He really wants his band to be on.
His name's Dr.
First of all, you never handed me any music.
I said I have them, and I handed you the name and everything. I said, we need to get him on soon, right? And he's like, yeah, sure. It's been 3 months.
What's his band?
I have people that actually give me music to put
me
on the show.
I'm giving you the music.
You did not give it to me,
though. They give it to me to give to you.
Anderson, we're saving it for when Drew's a guest.
It's not going to happen.
When's that happening?
He's already said no.
Hey, can I ask you where
that's
you
not,
saw...
That's not true, Hank. She said yes. Let's just set the record straight. He said yes.
You think he'll be upset when the book comes out?
I love that joke. It should have nothing to do with cancer. Just bad mouth people.
That's it. It's slashing and burning and burning bridges.
If I could wish cancer
settling
upon...
scores and burning bridges.
Yeah. Hey, it's got to be better than that book in there by Heather McDonald. That thing looks like a snooze.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read it. And where? What are you talking about?
You had her on the show as a guest, apparently, because
yeah,
her
I
book
know.
Is in there.
She's on the Best Ofs coming up next week, too.
What show are you talking about?
Oh, lovely.
Hey, I had a little bet with myself.
We should cut all of this out.
Didn't tell anyone about it.
Did you lost and fail?
I did lose. Well, I won and lost, actually, ironically, because I was like, do you think Carano, I said to you.
We'll be upset.
Do you think Carano's going to be upset when the book comes out? Do you think Carano's going to bring notes for this episode?
Did you really?
I really did. Because you were on a previous episode.
I did bring notes because I thought it was disrespectful and kind of weird that I did.
Let's talk about this for a moment, okay? Just because we talked about it off air, but Logan wisely said we should save this and talk about this on air. You came in about 40 minutes ago now, mm-hmm. right? And I said, sorry, buddy, we're all late because the gays are celebrating down the street and traffic's terrible out there. True story, right? And
why would they celebrate here?
Because West Hollywood's right down the street.
It's like 10 miles.
It's pretty close. So, anyways, you came in. I said, sorry, we haven't even started yet. You got a good half hour. You're like, okay, good. Because I left my my notes in the car. Now, the car is, what, maybe 30 steps? Maybe.
I parked in the far lot. because of 40 trees. Steps. I didn't want birds steps on my 40, car. I like your 40, car, by the way.
45 okay. steps, maybe.
It's dirty.
And what did you do instead of going to get the notes?
I ate 2 packs of M&Ms.
No, there's something else you did, though.
I started making notes on my phone.
You just started creating a new list rather than going to get the pre-existing list.
I'll tell you honestly.
Which why are you berating our guest?
Which I equated to like finding something with wheels in there, and like maybe one of the chairs on wheels, and using that to get home rather than drive to walk to your car and use it. Like, why not just go get the list? It's right there.
You're making me feel bad.
I'm sorry. You can have it.
I'm afraid that I'm going to bring in my list and then accidentally leave it here, and you guys are going to peek into my brain.
Oh, no.
See that I'm not.
It'd be like American Psycho at the end, which is all bones and meat.
No, I think it's more like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's just like little symbols.
It is. It's like hieroglyphics.
Hungry now, eat food.
Hey, like, it's all out of words. Hey, if you can see my notes that I make for myself at night, I'm sure it's because I'm getting old. But I'm also hyper irresponsible, but I actually write down breakfast, go to store. I write down like little things that you should actually know that your body should give you some kind of a signal.
Based on your vines and based on your tweets, and by the way, Mike Carano, I've said it before, I'll say it again, funniest tweeter I know.
Thank you very much.
I enjoy his tweets very much. Based on your vines, based on your tweets, I imagine you are both impulsive and full of ideas. And therefore, are you the kind of guy who writes things down in the middle of the night, like in your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Asleep
oh, no, you have
constantly.
To. Well, I mean, you know, we all have the same phone, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, this is all, what is that?
I vined
this is just like when I'm driving around. I mean, I do audio recordings, and I have hundreds, if possibly thousands.
That's a lot. You're scrolling, and it's barely a third of the way through.
It's just, you
it
know.
It's now a third of the way through.
And it's just like little, I don't ever listen to these.
I was going to say, do you listen to them? They're not titled. Are they just,
I don't listen to them.
How many do you have?
I don't know. It's 400, 500, 600.
Please don't delete those, because when you die, which hopefully won't be
someone
a long time.
My phone. Do I need to give you guys my password?
That will be
right
a treasure
now?
Trove. Yes, you will absolutely have to give us your password.
I think when you back your phone up, it's on your computer. So
you know what sucks about nobody that's having true. My password is that for one. Two is
Superpower.
I have a storage. I changed it. I have a storage facility with all of my belongings,
amazing.
All of them.
Amazing.
Nobody knows where it's at. Nobody knows the access code. Nobody has a key.
So mysterious.
Nope. No, I don't want it to be that way. If I kick the bucket, I want my family to be able to
now,
take the key and know where to go.
I don't know why I'm asking. I know the answer is no, because you don't have health insurance yet, right?
I don't have it.
I should point out that Brian is an avid listener of the After Disaster. For those of you who don't listen, Brian listens weekly.
It's hate listening. You know, like you can hate fuck somebody? Sorry.
He listens mainly because he thinks that we're going to talk about him, I think. And like I was talking about the narcissism earlier, any program where you might mention Brian Bishop's name.
There it is.
If you want him to listen
to
your program, just tweet him that you mention his name and he will listen.
False. True, the false.
Cut to you're just in your house at 4 a.m. with headphones
right,
on.
The fucker said he mentioned me.
you're paying thousands of dollars for some sort of intricate.
What are the chances
software?
You have a living will or a will or a last testament or anything?
I don't.
It's super easy and free.
I got to do it one of these days.
Yeah. Just write something down. And say this is where my stuff is. This is the passwords, because that's your legacy. That's.
We'll see it on storage.
Then again, maybe you don't want it to be out there. Maybe whatever we have is.
That's
something.
A sad thought. That's my legacy.
It is, in a way.
What are you saying is his legacy? Like now,
All these thoughts that are locked in his phone. And
I thought you meant the Star Trek set.
He lets a lot of the thoughts out.
A couple of stuff in my storage facility.
He lets them out on the After Disaster, which you can hear on podcast.
You know what I think
weekly.
You did? Did you? Is this you or someone else? Maybe you and someone else. At the end of the year, did you just upload a batch of tweets?
Yeah, I was
you
having
been
an anxiety attack. Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
They cut me off.
It's the best day of the year.
They cut me off.
They thought it was spam.
They said closed. Your account is closed for 4 hours
you
or something
only
like that.
Tweet
and
so
I was
much.
Two-thirds of the way through.
You
I was
probably
like,
tweeted 75 tweets.
I was probably, yeah.
That's probably about right.
He does the same thing on Vine. Speaking of Vine, this is a I shot a Vine of me at the drive-in. So are you saying that that's not a good shot of watching World War Z?
Oh, my God. You saw that movie in a drive-in?
Yeah,
Why did you do that?
Weren't you listening in the other room to see
I was. I heard you say you went to a drive-in and people were rude like I would expect them to
Can
be.
Can you see
it's
the supermoon in the background? The supermoon's right there next to the screen.
Let's not even talk about supermoon.
I'm also going to be shooting a trailer of this upcoming episode on Vine while we sit here. So try and think of something good to say for the trailer. Okay.
Let us know when you're pushing the screen. I walked to the Griffith, and I mean walked. Probably a mile.
From where?
From the base where the park is, and because it was gridlock, and I figured I can walk faster than these people. I was dead on. Got there more than twice as fast as everybody.
He went up for the supermoon.
Supermoon absolutely was not impressive at all.
How many vines did you make on the way up? And down?
I recorded probably an hour's worth of video, but I watched some of it back, and it's so mean-spirited that I can't upload it. I can't do that again. where I'm just an asshole.
He did
asshole.
A bunch of vines, Brian, and what I saw was him yelling at random cars, don't go up! It's not worth it!
It wasn't
Superman
worth it.
Stupid!
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the Griffith, too, which... The Griffith should have a
for those of you
on...
outside of Los Angeles, the Griffith Observatory is a very large observatory where various movies have been shot, such as Rebel Without a Cause, as well as Charlie's Angels, mm-hmm. and it's up on top of a mountain overlooking Hollywood right next to the Hollywood sign. Well,
many men cornhole each other, too, up there. I bet they're all celebrating.
What? They do? They're in a space.
Many men cornhole?
Many men.
Really? I had no idea.
I was not aware of this.
Oh, yeah. That's Hugh Hauser you're saying up there socially.
I did a video about Hugh Hauser there. That's where his memorial was.
Shocking.
And people told me I was an a-hole.
Are you trying to...
That's where gay stuff happens.
That's weird because... Okay. What you just did about the Griffith is not nearly... It's not on par with, but explaining a landmark like that seems kind of unnecessary to a point. Like, that's like saying, if, in case you aren't familiar with the Statue of Liberty, it's the statue the French gave us.
Really? You think that's how
I don't
everyone...
Think Griffith
LA Griffith Observatory?
Really?
I don't think so.
50 of national. I think it's in the top 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, this show goes outside of LA?
They close it down for like 15 years at a time, just for the hell of it. No one even notices.
Here's the thing about it.
What international show, Mike?
They can't understand how life works, because this is what's happening when I'm up there. There's probably 250 people in line for the telescope. It's 8:30. The woman is out there. Not nice. The telescope closes at 9 p.m. sharp. No exceptions. 9 p.m. There's no way... 85% of those people were going to get in. And I thought, okay, it's Saturday night, Los Angeles, supermoon night.
This is the night to stay open late.
Yeah, let's stay open until 10 or 11. No one there gives a shit. We're closing on time. We don't care.
Do they charge admission?
No.
They should have and made a little money for the rest of
donations. All a bit. It was nice being up there, but because it's a beautiful view and stuff, and it was a nice walk, except for going through that GD tunnel. Is horrifying.
For those of you not familiar, GD stands for goddamn.
Yeah. There's a tunnel there with no sidewalk and no room, and people were 1 foot away from me going like 30, and I was terrified. Good thing I had the camera running, but it was scary. They didn't plan on people walking there, but that observatory is beautiful.
Let's talk movie pet peeves.
Let's do it.
How many movies do you see in the theater daily life?
Not as much as you guys do, obviously. I love movies. I love them in the theater much more than watching them at home. I probably go to 14 movies a year, 15 movies a year.
Oh, no.
That's just going to. You see more movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're doing movies, like in movies. Though,
yeah, I'm
right?
just curious what is movie.
You're asking them what.
I'm just curious what movie watching happens.
There are times where I'll go to like 4 or 5 a month, but when I look at things now.
You binge and purge.
Is that purging? Binging?
I used to be more
going
interested
4 or 5 times a month
in movies for some reason. Like I used to like to go to movies in the daytime just to get out, and I thought it was an awesome experience. I still do, but I look at the listings and there's not that much stuff I wanted to see. And now I wanted to go see The Bling Ring a couple days ago, and the person I was going with wouldn't go. And now that I hear you talk about it, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But I like Sofia Coppola. I love Lost in Translation. Mm.
This is like a cinema verite version. It's all shot on video. It's all handheld. It's supposed to be like real raw and edgy, but it's just kind of like gross because I don't want. Let's not talk anymore about that.
Do you live in Venice?
No, I live in Studio City.
Okay. I would ask you to go to see a movie at my theater with me, but that's not far enough for you to drive.
Spring Breakers?
I do drive far.
Bling Ring? I'm going to say Spring Breakers.
You want to know
Spring
something?
Break.
When I was more mentally unstable than I am now.
What?
I would have these severe anxiety attacks. I lived in San Diego. I would get in my car and I would drive to Lake Elsinore to go to movies. It was about an hour and 40 minute drive,
please,
and I would go to this.
Please Google map that if you're not
creepy
familiar.
Theater. Now I did this probably every 2 weeks for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I would drive to this crappy Regal
please
theater.
Please Google map that.
And I would go to whatever movie was playing, and then I would get out and I would hang on the parking lot, listen to talk radio for an hour, and then I would drive home.
Logan, earn your 15% and Google map that. Find out the mileage from San Diego to Lake Elsinore.
It's probably 100.
Talk down to
it's
Logan.
Probably 85 or 90 miles.
I'm not talking down to Logan.
Talk down to him. When you got there, Mr. Corona, and you saw movies, were there any things, any pet peeves in them that bothered you in particular?
Well, Lake Elsinore is a horrible, horrible place on the planet Earth.
I'm trying to talk about the movie.
So the people in the theater were horrible people.
Okay.
But the people in the theater were horrible.
Yeah, right.
And I was afraid to go to my car every single time.
Our guest can talk about whatever he wants. If it's about the
really?
People in movies.
It's like a love affair. You're overcompensating.
I like that.
Overcompensating.
I don't appreciate that.
With Corona.
I have rules to stick to, Anderson.
Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing about drive-ins.
Uh-huh.
They seem romantic. They seem fantastic. But there's no possible way they can be. First of all, because the audio quality is going to suck. Second of all, because you're sitting
you
in your friggin' car.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my cousin, who was my hero at the time.
Oh, my God. This story.
Took me to a drive-in with his girlfriend. The only excuse was there was no reason for him to bring me. So he brings me and his girlfriend's little brother and them. and they kick us out with sleeping bags, and we sat on one of the humps outside freezing our asses off in Tucson, Arizona in the winter while they were inside having sex the entire time. Double feature. One movie was Carrie. I was horrified.
Wow. My favorite part
is they were
in a,
seven.
They were in a parking spot, so if somebody came in a little drunk.
Didn't see them?
Yeah, they just rolled right in there.
By the way, Arizona?
Yeah.
It gets cold as shit in the
winter. It was very cold. And the other thing is, in Tucson, at the drive-in, or I'm sorry, in the 70s, everyone was drunk in a drive-in movie theater.
Yeah. You know, the worst part about drive-ins nowadays is you don't have those bench seats. I wanted to get a little action.
Oh, you mean in your car?
Because Zombie Z was so boring. I wanted to get a little
I got to say, if you have a truck, do you still have a truck?
No.
If you have a truck, back it in and put stuff in the back. It would be cool.
Yeah, but no, just love seats or not love seats, but like, you know, lawn chairs.
I dig it.
Pet peeves.
What I liked also is like I knew how much shorter Monsters University was because all the people started flocking over to my section of the parking lot to see the end of World War Z when that one ended. It's like, oh, Monsters University must have been out. Must have got out. Yeah,
it was so stereotypical in the 50s that you know, people would sneak in the trunks. Yep.
I almost put the wife in the trunk, and I thought, no, it's too much.
How much was it?
Time's sake.
How much was it?
It was $9 a pop.
Wow.
So it was $18 to get in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of the scariest, worst people I've ever seen were very close proximity for a good hour just getting into the parking lot.
Was it hard to get in and out?
Out was easy. In took over an hour.
Do they still have the bump?
Yeah, they had the hump.
Lift your car up? Yeah.
Which, and no one really seems to understand not to have their lights on. Like, there's one guy, I think the entire movie is lights on.
That's the worst idea ever, the drive-in
entire
movie.
Yeah. Okay,
turn that off.
Let's talk pet peeves.
Top five
who's
movie
going
pet
first?
Peeves. Anderson's going first.
I'm going first.
Anderson's going first.
I got some really specific ones. I went ahead and listened to the last time the three of us got together talking about pet peeves to make sure that I didn't repeat any of them. And so I have a fresh list here. And this is going to be a very particular list. Okay, things that you may not pick up on that might not bother you. My number one is a prime example of just how particular they are. It comes with me. I dated a costume designer for probably on and off for about 8 years. Don't like that whore.
What was his name?
Not a fan of her anymore. Will not even speak her name. However, she was a costume designer. And
was her name Hairless?
Yeah, she was missing some hair. She used to pull her hair.
She had alopecia?
She had a lot of problems. She had a lot of issues. Looking back, she's a bit of a... I think she was borderline. Borderline, if you must know. She's actually quite famous now.
What?
For being a costume designer. Oh. I don't know why I'm going so far into her history. Anyways, point is, I was practically...
All those famous costume designers I hear about all the time.
I was very supportive, and I was practically a costume...
I was talking to Christy about last night.
Have you guys had her on as a guest?
Designer assistant for a number of years, where I was constantly helping her, you know, just do... Oh, God. Do... My computers went out. This is the problem.
Anderson.
Well, anyways... I would watch her do her job, and they have this thing where they go out and they buy all new clothes for these things. So whether you're big budget, low budget, they're always buying new clothes. And if the bigger the budget, the more copies they get of each. So like the main character for like Wednesday's shoot will have like three or four of a certain any kind of outfit, and they age them. And that's a real long, painstaking activity that goes into it, where they got to age. They take them on the ground.
Yeah, can't look brand new.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if it's like a Western or a Victorian era.
That would be an awesome Western. Everyone's in brand new clothes.
Well, just watch any Western from the 50s. They're crisp collars.
Western's not a great example of what I'm talking about here, but they age the clothes up and down all but for the shoes. And if you watch a movie, every single time, 99 out of 100 times, you'll notice that their clothes all look worn, jeans are ripped, like the flannels are worn in, been washed a number of times. Those shoes, brand spanking new.
Never noticed that.
Wow.
And it's upsetting. And I don't want to sit here and say it takes me out. I don't really believe the whole getting taken out of a movie. I'm always
You don't
out of
believe
a movie.
In that?
Not really.
Really?
Well, because it's rare that I'm in a movie, I think.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Seems like you enjoy them. Good for you.
I love them. I love them, but it's not like I'm like, oh my God. I had a friend explain getting taken out of a movie. He's like, I was in Middle Earth, and then the music was off, and I was just out. I realized I was in a theater. It's like,
I was looking at
really?
Middle Earth.
You really get sucked into the point where you forget you're in a movie theater?
He's a hypnotist dream.
Wow, I don't think it's ever happened to me.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking
about. I've certainly been swept away by movies, but never been like,
when people say
where
I got taken out of a movie, I mean, if they're using it literally, no. Doesn't matter. But anyways, brand new shoes.
Brand new
shoes. Pet peeve. Bug.
That's what I never noticed before.
Come on,
I didn't either. But you know what it reminds me of? It's been used more than once, movies where the guy recognizes the bad guy or the good guy because his shoes don't match the uniform.
No idea what he's talking about.
Well, like in not Shawshank, but that is a scene where he's got the prison uniform.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
Look
yeah
down. Like it's
but
guys.
He kept his shoes?
Yeah, well, some guy be looking for a killer and he sees like the janitor coming out and that's not him, but then he looks down and sees shiny shoes.
Right,
and
right.
Like, oh, that's him. I've seen that more than one movie. Of course, I can't think of any.
All right.
Crony, you want to go second or third? You have the choice.
I'd love to go second.
Okay.
You want us to take a quick break?
No, I just had a panic attack. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, I know there was way cooler stuff than this on my notes.
Corrado, I want you to be
okay. This is going to
be honest with me.
This is. I swear to God, I have notes.
Do you swear to God you got notes in there?
I swear to God, okay. I have 3 pages of notes.
At the break?
Swear
dude,
to
go
God.
Get your notes. No, at the break. I'll go.
Okay, let me start with one.
You spent 3 pages worth?
Let me start with one.
Oh,
I'm going to start with a simple one that's not that important, but this does drive me nuts. And I can't think of many examples except for one in Les Miserables. It's weird friggin' camera angles, like where they tilt the camera as if it's on a tripod, but then they turn it like this, like you're on a ship.
It goes Dutch.
Okay, Les Miserables does that a bunch of times, and it drives me nuts. And it looks like it's a kid trying to impress his professor.
And it's like
in
during
film
the
school.
Shot, right? It's like shot starts out here, goes
you know
sometimes.
That? Tim Burton does it like all through Sweeney Todd. I think that it's hard. You'd be hard
it
pressed
sounds
to find
familiar,
it.
Yeah.
Terry Gilliam does that a lot too. You see a lot.
Yeah,
of like,
Terry Gilliam does.
You know, odd angles.
I've just never seen a time where it really adds to it. Where I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Irreversible.
It feels like if a character, if they're trying to like a character is either drunk or young and remembering something, or some other somehow doesn't have a clear memory of the event.
It's like German expressionism, and they're trying to make the viewer feel off balance. Yeah. Hitchcock used it quite a bit, and I think back then not enough people were using it where it was effective.
All of my topics can be proven wrong, and I could be changed. My mind can be changed, but it reminds me of when you're a kid and you first get a camera. This is sort of off topic. You get a video camera, a film camera, the first thing you do is make an earthquake. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that. Like, you're just like, oh, check it out, earthquake.
Mm-hmm. It's like the scene in A Christmas Story where Ralphie's going to Santa Claus, and they're like, you know, what do you want for Christmas,
kid?
Yeah,
that shows
like,
the up-close of Santa.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Number five for me. Mine go from minor, relatively minor, to very serious. Very serious.
Hold on.
I got to talk. Oh, well, you said hold on.
I'm sorry, just ignore me. I'm going to make a sweet trailer.
Sure. My number five is relatively trivial, sort of minor, but will eventually get very serious and very angry. Number five for me. Anderson, have you ever... You know, the shoe thing I never noticed, and I'm going to... Now you're going to notice it and never see it.
That's the
it's one of those things where you notice it. Now I'm going to notice it.
But I don't want to point things out and have people notice things and get taken out of movies. You know
you've probably noticed this, but maybe it didn't bother you. But it always bothers me when... two characters, multiple characters, are in a loud environment, like a club or a bar or something, concert, and they go to have a conversation, and the diegetic music just drops down so you can hear the conversation.
It's funny. I was thinking about that just today.
I hate it so much. It was like they're at a loud concert, and all of a sudden the music drops down. And you can hear them talking to each other.
Usually it's music they're using to take you into that scene, like it's used as a bridge.
Yeah. It's the pumping music at the club. And all of a sudden, it's like music drops, characters have conversation.
Well, it does make sense because it is that loud to them in the club, but you can still have a conversation.
It doesn't make sense because I've seen movies correct that problem by starting off at a level that's reasonable. So then they're, you know.
Yes.
Well, they have to be yelling for it to read okay.
Exactly.
Right?
They did that in Trainspotting to a very good effect. Characters had to have a shouting conversation so much so there were actually subtitles on their normal just English words.
I like that.
Because they were in a loud club and there was thumping music.
Mm-hmm. Audio is so recognizable. Like so easy to spot bad audio.
I hate there's so much bad ADR, especially in reality shows, because they have to fill in plot holes that people are like, what the fuck's going on? And Christy watches these shows a lot, and I'm like, that's bad ADR, that's bad ADR. And it's like, why can't you just shut up and watch?
If you watch reality shows on Netflix, just go from Swamp Loggers to five or six other shows, they're friggin' identical.
Yep.
They're identical. The guitar music in and out.
It's all the same music.
That's what I mean.
The same production company.
It's identical.
I'll be like working in the kitchen or doing something off in the office, and I can hear the wife watching these terrible, terrible programs, and they all have like the same violin thing, the same like cymbal crash. Yep. Like they just go to the same effects for the same because they're trying to get you to feel the exact same. Oh my God, that just happened.
Can I say something off topic real fast?
So awful. No, that's not like you.
There's a clip on the internet, and it's not a reality show, and it's not a tabloid show. It's from Peru. It's an actual news broadcast of a woman who caught her boyfriend cheating and throws the girl off a cliff. She doesn't die. She only goes 20 feet down. But it's the news, and they added music to it. Like ominous music. It's like, bum, 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 bum. And she throws her off, and they kept replaying it. I was like, this is genius.
That's like Access Hollywood type stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, ADR was actually on my list, I think, the last time we got together.
Yeah.
We should give our list.
And I called it additional dialogue recording and got a lot of angry tweets. It's not called that. And they gave me something else, digital, I forget.
Thought it was that.
It is. It can be called either or. People like to yell. People like to yell through digital medium.
Do you have your list from last time? Because I do.
I know.
Okay.
You have mine?
I have my list.
Of course, because you're a narcissist. Why would you care about doing ours?
I didn't know you guys even had lists.
That's funny you look at
buddy,
that.
Buddy, come on. Settle down. You're getting mad now.
I look at it as filling the listener and making the listener experience better for this episode because they know what our last list was.
I know. What I'm saying is you only got your own. You didn't get ours.
You're like, my list is my list and no one else can hear it.
I would like to have brought in all of our lists, but I didn't get around to it. All right. I listened to it, but I didn't take
notes.
Who
was our guest last time? Do you have a guest? Or just you
and
me?
It was Mike Carano.
It was not. He was a guest for comic
Pet Peeves.
Pet Peeves, my friend.
He's been on 2 or 3 times now.
No, I'm asking who the guest was for Pet Peeves last time.
Mike Carano.
Look at his face. He's like,
you did this episode?
Yes. That's why we thought it was a little bit odd that you wanted him to come back.
Yeah, he asked me and I said, didn't they do this already?
I'm like, yeah, but he wants to do it again. And we all hail
Logan,
Brian.
I apologize for yelling at you.
Yeah.
You did?
Just now.
Oh, I thought you looked at me. I thought you yelled at me.
Steaming ahead.
Carano, do you have 5 more?
I just thought of a good one.
He just thought of a good one. All right. Thank you, Petros Papadakis. Right. We watched Petros come up with his on the fly and write them on his hand, on his arm with Sharpie. All right. Here we go. This one is one that I saw just recently in a movie that I will not name because it did not come out yet, and they were very fine and nice to have me in that theater to watch it. But when a joke is supposed to be funny in a movie that's supposed to be a comedy, and they're assuming that the audience is going to be laughing so hard.
two seconds of silence?
Yeah, they took a beat.
They do a quick cutaway of somebody like looking at each other or somebody giving like a confused inquisitive, like, did she just say that? Oh, my God. And it's to give the audience time to recover so that the next dialogue can be heard, which is, first of all, I don't think it's effective. I feel like I've talked about this before, but I remember seeing There's Something About Mary, like opening weekend in Palm Springs in like a sold out theater, and I remember being blown away about how much I missed because people were laughing so hard that they were missing the next joke, and that makes it seem even funnier and out of control and chaotic, and like you can't wait to see it again when they're putting in these fucking beats, these
and miss
these
those
breaks
jokes again.
So that everyone, and when it's a clunky joke and it doesn't really work and it wasn't really funny, it is cringeworthy. It's almost as bad as watching Americans go, USA! USA! It's awful.
I've seen comics do that on stage where they tell a joke and they're expecting a laugh and they're just kind of...
The comics have a name for it, right? They call it a break or
I don't know.
Beat break. Or,
I don't know any of the technical beatbox. Terminology. For
not a... beatbox, Brian. It would not be beatbox.
It's called a beat. I'm going to start telling people. Comics call it a beatbox. I don't know what you guys want to call it.
I believe that stand-up comedy is one of those businesses where... One of those professions where you could make up terms for anything and people would believe it. Like ordinary people who weren't in stand-up comedy.
Well, you can make up total lies and tell them as the truths.
That's what I mean. Like you just make stuff up. Like, oh, that's called a beatbox. Oh, really? Wow.
I like that. I like that idea.
Your turn for number 4.
Okay. I'm going to go with the one I just thought of, which may have crossed my mind earlier. And this one may seem a little minimal, but I this one really does bother me. It's... People drunk or on drugs from their perspective. I can't stand the double vision. I can't stand the camera moving through a room. When if you just shot them staggering or moving, you'd know that person got drugged, that person's hammered. Instead of this, you know, it's a regular movie that's well done, and all of a sudden the guy's going through a tunnel, and it's like, oh, they clearly slipped me some...
I think that's... Echoey voices talking to him.
Yeah, I
think that might be... Obviously, in the beginning, they're trying to experiment, especially like in the 60s and the 70s. Like, let's show people what drugs are really all about because we're on them all the time. I think a lot of the time, that's filmmakers who haven't really dabbled
drugs
that much, and they want, like, that's their idea of, like,
interesting.
I really get the idea that it's somebody who's, because usually they're so far off. It's like, that's nothing like acid. Acid's nothing like
that. Do you want to see what alcohol's like? Look through that bottle of water, Brian. That's what it's like being drunk.
So crazy.
Oh, my God. What's on the back of your phone?
Let me piggyback on that by saying that I think a newer trend that's also part of the let's show how fucked up this character is, bringing in reality TV, is the one where they hitch a camera like around their neck and it's right here on their chest and the camera's looking and they're moving, like, someone's moving confused.
That was really good, big when they started getting with the lighter cameras, like in the early 90s. They used to use it.
I just saw him get him to the Greek. Jonah Hill was fucked up and they put it right here and he was stumbling through the room and then the camera's fixed so his head never moves. Everything moves around him.
That was freaky the first time you see it though, but now they use it too much.
It was great.
Like, first time I saw it, I think, was the Celebration and it was fucking amazing. It was really, really cool, but now you see it way too often.
I just don't see it serving a purpose because that's not a perspective I'll ever have as a human being.
Actually, you know what? I kind of like that one a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, what? It's like you're in their head because that's kind of how you feel when you're moving really fast. Like everything's moving around you, but you're not.
I do like the one silver lining to that, Carano, I think, is when they cut back to – they show the character fucked up, but then they cut back to the real world, and it's like whatever crazy thing he's experiencing is just him, and it's like he looks silly because he's kind of like whatever. That's funny kind of like kicker, I guess, on like they reveal that, no, the world isn't fucked up. He's fucked up, but you're right. That's overdone, and it's too much, I think.
It's also, I've noticed films, and this is totally off topic, where they have a crazy wide angle shot, and then they cut to the 20 foot back regular standard lens shot. Because that wide angle thing is kind of the same effect. It's like this goofy, I'm not my person. And then all of a sudden it's a regular shot. I'm like, you got to stick with the lens.
I think you notice that more than most people because you're a photographer.
But it's his pet peeve.
Was that your actual pet peeve?
No, that was just, I just tagged onto that other one.
So where are we at? Where are we going? What's going on?
We should take a break so Cronk can get his notes.
By the way, I have six now because I tagged that one.
No, I have one. I have lost one. Number four. Then we'll
take my God, you're totally right! Sorry. Just finishing my vine.
That was good. You want to take that again?
We should do a show that we just make vines so the show actually makes no sense whatsoever.
There is an insane... Okay, the only example I can think of this is a bad movie, but I see it a lot. Remember Godzilla with Matthew Broderick? It was in the trailer, so even if you don't remember the movie, you might remember this part where he's early in the movie, he goes to investigate this footprint or this whatever, and he's like, where's the footprint? Like, you're standing in it. And they pull back, and Matthew Broderick's standing in...
It's a giant footprint.
The giant footprint.
Very effective. I love that. I know what you're talking about.
However, it's the only footprint.
Oh, yeah.
On the whole island.
I didn't think of that.
This fucking dinosaur hop, and he stands on his one foot for hours.
Maybe the others got washed away.
He walked inland. How can it get washed away?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I hate that so much.
Awful.
It happens all the time when they're tracking. It could be in Harry and the Hendersons where they're tracking somebody, and there's one footprint. I'm like, wait, there's one print? Like, this animal traversed a huge, huge landscape, and he left one print?
You'd expect to see that, like, on the original Land of the Lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's learn from that mistake and not do that again. Isn't anyone on set saying, hey,
this animal has 2 feet?
What's happening on set? Is somebody's mentioned that, and someone's saying, we got to move on.
Yep.
It took the guy 2 hours to dig that one footprint. Let's get out of here.
Good one, Brever.
Thanks, buddy.
That is a good one.
Coming up next.
You got another example?
No, Godzilla and Harry and the Hendersons, but I just saw it, maybe think of it. Anderson saw it too, ironically, because we weren't watching it together. But what the fuck? I can't remember. I feel like maybe Jurassic Park.
It seems that way too.
I feel like there's a few movies where there's like one print. It's like, what the fuck? One print?
I think if I saw that trailer again, I would be disturbed by the fact that he stepped down into a gully and then asked where the footprint was. Yep. You know what I mean?
And by the way, the dinosaur is heavy enough to create a footprint that you can walk into.
Yeah.
But it's the only footprint on the island. He didn't step on any rocks. He didn't gravel. I think Roland Emmerich.
Roland Emmerich did, yes. Oh, he's so good at making terrible things.
Coming out with the fucking White House movie.
White House Down, bitches.
Might be gambling on
White
that.
White House Down, bitches. God, it looks so good.
Looks so ungood.
Looks so awesome. He tries to get in the back of the Escalade because he's the president, you know, and he's used to having a chauffeur. And he goes, oh, my bad. I'm just used to getting in the back. Hey, it looks so funny.
Get your hands off my Jordans.
It looks so funny.
Coming up next, the conclusion. Tough top five pet peeves. News, guys, whether you like or dislike the feature artists on Film Vault, the good news is if you like them, submit your own artist or your own self to join the ranks of the artists that you love. If you hate them, submit your own self or artist that you know to compete and better the artist that you love. Be our feature artist. We'd love to have you guys, or your music, or your friend's music, or your unsigned band that you're a fan of. Send it along. We'd love to make it a feature artist of the week, and that way Anderson can rock out.
Just make sure if you send someone else's band that they have permission, or they give you permission.
Yeah, don't just go sending willy-nilly.
I got this new Ricky Nelson album you're going to like.
Ricky Nelson. He's signed. Anyhow, where do they send it? AndersonandBryan.com is where they go. There's a big feature artist button right there, right, Logan?
That is correct. That's right on the homepage.
AndersonandBryan.com. Feature artist of the week, B1. Back. Mike Carano has retrieved his notes, and we have the Atomic Aces plan. Santa Cruz, California's own, the Atomic Aces. Betty's Rage is the album that's out now, and ReverbNation.com/TheAtomicAces.
It's good, I do. I continue to like it, even though I call them hippies and told them F themselves.
Anything you want to add?
A little bit like Rocky Erickson, who I love.
So, yes, turns out that Carano actually has notes. I'm looking at them right
now.
I'm
not going to refer to them.
I've never seen your writing.
You should find that shit.
Look at that. Yeah.
Karan, you want to add anything to your first two? Anything from the notes jumps out?
I only did two.
Well, you hated oh fuck, what was the one? You hated the drunk perspective.
I actually wrote that down before. I guess that wasn't a new one.
Yeah, Dutch cameras.
Yeah, no, that's Dutch all Cameron. I did was those. Jeez Louise.
A lot of the time those are combined, too. Like, they use the Dutchie to make it seem like the person's drunk, right?
During the break, I showed Chrono my extensive list of also
more narcissistic moves. Look at what I wrote. Look what I
did.
Look what I did. No. Mommy, look at what I
could do. No, he's got a lot. It's very impressive. There's a couple on there that I'm kind of envious of that I didn't think of.
I could do this list 5 more times. Chrono's coming back for Pet Peeves Part 3.
Trying to make me feel stupider?
I couldn't do that.
Hey, if I got 100 more pages of this.
If you share it with me, if you share my pet peeve, then you can talk eloquently about it.
You can add on. You can add on.
Yeah. It's all about piggybacking. Anderson, number 3.
I just thought of 3 more. Wow. Just being around here, Brian.
Write them down.
Number 3 for me. This is something. A lot of these things also, they cross over to television as well. So if for whatever reason you're listening to this, you're not a big movie fan, but you like TV, you'll appreciate this one as well. As well as the last two. But how often, guys, have we seen a couple wake up in bed and just roll over and just start making out? Earlier, for some reason, I mentioned morning breath, and it's because it's top of mind, because this could have been my number one. But how often do we see couples just making out every morning, and no one wants to make out when they first wake up? No one does!
I sort of see where you're going with this, but I had a girlfriend once, and I stayed with her all the time, and our morning breath matched.
Wait, you used to sleep in the same bed?
That's sweet.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's rare. It's strange. I don't think it happens very often, and I've never seen – I'm sure that there's examples out there. Don't send me clips, but –
It is weird.
Just grab a mint or something, or like you know, could be coming out of the bathroom after brushing your teeth or something. I don't like to watch it, I imagine. Plus, if you know the biology of what makes your morning breath, it's awful.
Bacteria.
It's bacteria.
Well, any biology makes me want to put a gun in my mouth.
It's so bad. It's so awful. It's bacteria.
You turn me off.
Passing gas.
I know, now I'm
in your
disgusted.
Mouth.
I don't feel good about this.
It's not like passing gas in your mouth.
No, that's what it is.
All.
No, that's what the bacteria is doing. That's what the bacteria is doing.
Way 50 times worse.
That's what makes it awful. I wish I didn't disclose so much information.
You know what I don't like is when you have to sneak out and get mouthwash and you want to come back and act like you didn't. Your breath's just normally minty fresh.
Mm.
So, yeah, the kissing.
You never do that?
The kissing.
I have done
out.
That in the past.
In the morning time, let's not, you know, if you want to have a sex scene and it's got to take place right when the two wake up because a little morning wood action, you got to implement that. Just do it like hooker style without the kissing.
I have a question. Right? Were a smoker. Does smoking make morning breath worse?
Drinking and smoking, I think, makes it better.
Really?
Because you
drier in there?
No, you still got the smoke and the booze on your breath, which I think is better.
You think you're still at the bar having a nice time?
I think it's better than those goddamn little bacteria that have been eating.
There's no way it makes it better because one of the things that makes your breath bad is being dehydrated.
One of the greatest things about smoking is I couldn't smell things around me, which I really appreciated. And I'm starting to get my smell back, and I don't like it. I like not being able to smell things because smells are awful.
Suck if you worked in a cotton candy factory.
Totally.
That
smells good.
I'm actually going to be able to smell the season of Christmas this year. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Number 3 for my career.
Mistletoe. Smells.
All right. I'm going to go with...
Does mistletoe smell?
Not really.
This one might be too easy. And what bothers me about this, it doesn't matter if it happens immediately. In fact, I think it bothers me more when I find out 20 years later. When I leave a movie and then find out the ending was different in the book. And it eats away at me. And even if the movie is better than the book, it still drives me nuts because I think that's disrespectful. And I think it's bordering on plagiarism from the author. Granted, people are like, oh, the author knew it when he sold the screenplay and stuff. You know what? It doesn't make it right. Like if you write a book, that's your vision. And then some arrogant director comes along and goes, you know, I don't like the ending or the middle.
You're acting like they have no say in whether they get money for their script or not.
I mean, they're getting money, but it's their work that's being changed. And sometimes dramatically. And I know just because your guy Stanley Kubrick does it all the time that you're probably accepting of it.
Didn't you just talk about Kubrick doing it, Anderson? Didn't you just talk about Kubrick?
What we cite often is The Mist.
The Stephen King.
I don't know
King,
what that is.
Stephen King movie.
But it's, you know, I mean.
Different than Stephen King.
Like how would you look at me? Like if you did,
give me an example. Do you know?
I don't know. Well, like if I did like Three Men and or like
two, I love what just
Three Men and a
Chrono off.
No, if I go, hey, check out my I'm making a movie based on a TV show. It's called 2.5 Men.
Right,
but it's about 3 chicks and a fucking panther.
Well, that's different than the end.
Like, yeah, that's not the same.
Thing. Yeah.
I know, but I mean,
okay,
no,
example,
it's the same.
An example I think you're talking about is The Natural, famous movie, baseball movie, you know, with the fucking Robert Redford, Barry Levinson directed. In the movie, he iconically hits the home run into the lights shower down on top of him, iconic ending, not the way the movie ends in the book, or the story ends in the book. In the book, he strikes out and he's thrown out of baseball, real downer ending, like super downer, and it completely changes the whole movie with just this one scene.
Yeah. Now, that's an example where they probably made it better.
They probably did make it better.
No, but it changes the entire tone and meaning of the book, though.
Tone,
That just changes the entire story. So that's egregious. That's awful.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it might pivot on who's more, who's smarter, the author or the director, because if the director makes it better.
At the risk of boring up our audience who's heard this a thousand times, but an example for you, Corona, because you don't listen to the show.
E.T., the book's different than the movie?
Brian listens to the After Disaster, but you don't listen to the Film Vault.
I do listen to Film Vault now and then. I absolutely do.
I don't like liars.
The last time I listened, you guys had five topics. And I swear to God,
no, he's telling the truth.
I listen sometimes.
Frank Darabont directed The Mist, and sorry guys, I know you've heard it a thousand times, but he's close with Stephen King. He's done The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption and The Mist, and his version of the end of The Mist is far different from Stephen King's. Stephen King said, if I thought of that ending, I would have definitely used it because that is a great ending. So
Stephen
King
seems
to
get his stuff changed a lot.
You can give it a pass, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I was looking up some stuff, and Rambo apparently was a book before it was a movie, and he's just a psychopath that has a flashback and starts killing people, and then he gets shot in the face. And then the guy who shot him in the face, who was his colonel, and then the sheriff dies of a heart attack.
Wow. Heavy shit. What do you think about... Okay. Two follow-up questions. What do you think about movies that that fuck around with history at the end? Like, I just saw Inglourious Basterds again. The ending of that is obviously kind of goes off the rails.
It's like fan fiction.
In a fun way.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that, or is that okay?
That's a tough one, because if you're gonna set it up involving historical events and then you decide to go off the rails, that's kind of funky. But if it's pure entertainment and it works, then it's fine. But if it doesn't work...
I don't think that he had an agenda. I don't think Tarantino had an agenda hoping that people would mistake this for reality. Sure. If that was the case, fuck that. Yep. Fuck that guy.
What do you think about movies that are based on a true story, but that obviously have to make up the ending because there's no... For example...
Don't like that at all.
The Perfect Storm. No one really knows what happened on that boat because their communications were out. They're out at sea. Everyone...
Yep. I don't like that at all.
But they had to make up an ending, basically.
Yeah.
Dramatize an ending.
Don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like them messing with history at all, unless it's overt. And, like, Inglourious Basterds is a great example, because it's okay, because everyone knows that Hitler didn't go out like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think we did. We don't think he did.
What? Wasn't on a boat, lost at sea? We know what happened to
what are you talking about?
Hitler was in the Perfect Storm?
Yeah. Okay. The crab fisherman.
Hitler being on the boat.
I think my favorite part of Man of Steel was that he was on Deadliest Catch.
Yes, that was good.
I like that.
Was he really?
That was pretty cool. Yeah, like when you first see his first job. Am I fucking this up for people? Should I not be saying this?
Are
people
gonna get mad? Very early in the movie.
Like 35 minutes in.
You just touched on one of my pet peeves.
What's that?
I don't like...
Wait, save it.
Okay.
I don't know. He won't have it, though. Will you have it 10 minutes from now?
Probably.
Write it down.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
Is it on
your
list?
I wonder if I did write it down. Let me think. It's just Stephen Cornball. CGI.
Why don't you just...
Number three for me.
Jot it down there with his pen here.
Number three for me.
Just write it down quickly.
Number three for me. I could do this list five more times.
I've heard that numerous times throughout the week.
Here is my previous list. I hated unnecessary bad accents. Why make a foreigner do an American accent if it doesn't matter? Movie quotes that get repeated inaccurately. I fucking hate when people say
that was on
greed
your last
is
list.
Good. I know this is my last list. Okay. Greed is good. No, greed is not good. It's a different quote in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Gecko.
We don't need no stinking badges. Not the quote.
Right,
not the quote.
Said the exact same thing.
Play it again, Sam. Not the quote.
How do you think that happens?
I don't know. I would love to get down to the bottom of it. Greed is not good. Greed, for lack of a better term or lack of a better word, is good. That's the quote.
It's just like telephone.
Yeah,
and if you get enough, it probably starts somewhere like SNL or something like that. You know what I mean?
Do you think it's another example of that thing where everybody thinks Richard Gere had a gerbil up his butt and it just spread like wildfire everywhere? Like one person mispronounced it, and all of a sudden that just took off, and it's too late.
It's hard to come up with these quotes that we've heard over and over again. It's really hard unless you love that movie and you've seen it a dozen times. I can't tell you the exact badges, and neither can Brian if he didn't have it written down in front of him, because we've heard the wrong one so many times.
Absolutely, and I own that movie, and I couldn't tell you what it is.
You have Treasure of the Sierra Madre? Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's great.
A special edition. It's fantastic.
Mike and I saw it together.
This is my last list.
Mike and I saw Treasure of the Sierra Madre together.
I hated trailers that give away major plot points.
We were talking about...
That's everything now.
We went on a date and watched it.
My most enraged moment was when Castaway showed him reuniting with his wife at the end. I don't want to know if he gets off the island. Mm-hmm.
You know what we did, actually, at Treasure of Sierra Madre? We watched the movie on an iPhone with it on the screen behind us.
Better than that. Better than that. We saw it. We went to that hipster place where they projected on the side of a mausoleum at the cemetery, Forever Cemetery. And there's a huge, monstrous mountain of a man sitting right in front of us. So we had a hard time. Like, we were there with a few of our friends. The girls were there. And Mike just happened to have it loaded on this little projector that he had. Remember that?
A Pico projector.
So
synced the movie as close as we could. It was almost perfect.
And he projected it on the mountain man's back. So we watched it right in front of us on the back of his white t-shirt. It was fantastic. It was really cool.
I forgot that I've had the projector. You're right.
I also hated rom-coms that had random unrelated song lyrics for titles. And my number one last time was, Anderson, you're my brother. Yeah, no one has ever said that to their brother or sister in the history of actual life. Yeah. Yet it says all the time in movies. I see it all the time.
It's basically saying, I really don't care about you more than I care about my friends, but you're my brother. And society
the audience
tells
must know
me.
This. The audience must know that you're my brother.
That's in the same vein as what Carano had on his last list, which was really sloppy, clumsy exposition. Yeah. Just lazy exposition, where we need the audience to know that they're blood brothers, blood relatives. So
if I could do that one again, that would absolutely be my number one.
Yeah, exposition should be everyone's number one. And it probably is everyone's number one, whether you realize it or not. I mean, that ruins movies. It makes movies dull. It's awful. It really is terrible. And there's plenty of ways around it, but it's just uncreative bullshit.
Number three for me this time.
Hacks.
Number three this time for me.
Says the guy who's never made a movie.
Is when someone hacks at somebody with a sword and it makes a swing. I hate when swords make a swing against anything other than metal. When they're pulling out of a leather holster, a knife out of a holster. When they're stabbing someone, where they're waving it through the fucking air against leather, against cotton. The knife makes a swing sound. Swing! Yep. And fucking, you just cut someone in the neck. That doesn't swing.
But you like Kill Bill.
I love Kill Bill.
Yeah, but that was stylized. No, Kill Bill is all swing against...
there's lots of swing.
No, it's all swing against other swords. Okay. There's a swing against someone's head.
You know what? You're absolutely correct. When they pull out of a leather sheath, it makes a whoosh noise.
Mm-hmm. When it fucking hits wood,
it should be quiet.
Yeah, it should be silent almost. Maybe a little bit of a...
That's very particular, Brian. There's so many things that are like that, where like, you see a sword, you're going to have to hear the swing sound effect.
I hate it so
you
much.
See a cop, boop, boop. They always have that same sound effect now. Yep. Every time you see a desert, we talked about this in the last one, you hear the hawk.
The hawk.
Every time you see the goddamn semi-truck.
Sounds the same, I'd like to see them hit with a sword like it would be a if you really hit someone with a sword, you'd have to hack a lot.
It would sound like what it sounded like at the end of the fucking Billy Bob Thornton Sling Blade.
Yeah, Sling Blade got it right.
It would be a splat.
Last episode that we all got together, we were talking about how we're going to fund our movie. We're going to... have After Disaster listeners pay us to make sound effects off of their bodies, right? So, like, if we had to have a sound of, like, a guy getting hit in the head, we would actually auction it off. Like, you get to be the guy who gets hit in the head for the sound.
I got to say, somebody has probably tried to do that with a big-budget movie, and it was so dull, and it was so anti-climactic. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, a punch would be, like, it would sound like that. It wouldn't be, like, a boom.
You know what they use? They use chamois, and they take a celery. They use all sorts of things, but I've seen them take chamois, like the ShamWow. And then you wrap celery with it, and then you punch that, and that sounds like an actual.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why don't they just punch their hand?
How many? Well, probably because I get hurt after the 50th take. I hurt my leg just punching myself right now.
Number two,
get that for another round.
How expensive was Foley sounds before someone realized celery works for whatever they were using? You know?
Let's get the Foley guy in here.
I got these rare bones from the elephant graveyard. Like,
it took all night.
Dude, celery sounds the same.
All right, Anderson, number two.
Okay.
You have multiple emails open.
I do. It's true. All right. This one's good. This one's a good one. I've had this on my list for a while. I've been waiting to redo this episode so that we can talk about this one. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about it, but whenever anyone takes medication, like here, take this aspirin. Here, take some Tylenol. You're going to need to take these pills. A lot of the time, for whatever reason, they're looking in the mirror, because I guess you take your pills when you're in the bathroom. They're looking in their mirror. And a lot of time it's very dramatic because they're taking these pills. And pretty much 95% of the time those people take their pills. How do you guys take your pills? Put them in your mouth. Maybe wash down a little water, right? Yep. Swallow those fuckers. Yep. They chew their goddamn pills on screen.
I've seen people chew aspirin.
I have no idea why.
Interesting.
They chew their goddamn pills.
Interesting.
And it's a really weird thing. Do actors not take pills in real life? Are they doing it just for dramatic effects?
Bless you. They get injections.
Does no one else catch that? Like, excuse me, why are you chewing your
pills? Bless you again.
Why are you chewing your pills? People don't chew pills. They're always chewing pills
in
movies.
I've seen a lot of people in movies chew aspirin,
you hear them
which
crunch.
I've never done in my life.
I was going to say, have you ever chewed aspirin?
Well, they have like the children's chewable aspirin.
Have you chewed aspirin, though? It tastes fucking awful.
All pills taste horrible. I know from snorting a lot of them. Terrible taste. Not a good taste. And
That's funny. I never know. Like the shoe thing, I never really picked up on that.
I think that maybe actors are like, ah, it's so benign to just swallow pills. I'm gonna give my own take on it. Or I don't understand why. A lot of time they don't want to take the pills, but they have to. And then they do it, and you can hear them crunching.
Ugh.
Is there a badass version of this? That? Like, this character I'm playing is so badass that he just chews disgusting pills.
He puts them in his mouth and punches himself in the mouth.
A lot of the time, yeah. They are badass. And usually, the guy that's chewing the pills, washing it down with a little, like, Canadian rye as well. Like, you know, yeah. He's that guy. But
it's
still.
Not going to help his migraine.
I'm that guy. I've been that guy plenty of times. I'm not chewing those goddamn things. Mm-mm. I might wash it down with something even worse, but I'm not chewing it.
You know, hey, do you think people who manufacture cocaine figured out a good balance for it so it doesn't? Because I've snorted cocaine and snorted crushed up pills, and crushed up pills kill me.
Because they don't have, like, the baby aspirin.
That's what I mean. Is it? It's just excruciatingly painful.
Well, it depends on what kind of pills you crush up. Because I've crushed some that they're not that bad. I've crushed others where it's like immediately like, this was not meant for snorting. Like the membranes in my nose just immediately fire back horrible receptors of pain. Like for 2-3 days, like I can just feel them burned out. Yeah. Awful. How many pills do you snort? A
couple.
You snorted pills?
No, I did it a couple times.
Good time.
Codeine. Yeah, yeah. I tried smashing up a codeine.
Here's another tip. It's probably not smart of me to say. It's probably irresponsible. But whenever it says on the
kid in the backseat.
Kid in the backseat. Well, he doesn't know about pills yet. He'll probably forget this by the time it's pill age.
What if he tries it with Flintstone vitamins?
12, 13. Whenever you see that.
Mainlining Dino.
On the prescription meds. God, Drew would hate me so much if you heard me saying this. Whenever you see the little sleepy eye icon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one to drink with.
Make you drowsy.
Good one to drink with. Usually that means good one to drink with.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, some pills, though. I took something. I think it was a Vicodin once, and I had one ale. One of those apple cider things at a bar in Santa Monica. And I walked out, and I was telling my friends, this is the greatest thing ever. I am friggin' hammered. And the minute it came out of my mouth, so did vomit. And I was like, you guys, I had one drink. I'm out for $7. I am hammered.
Yeah, you
like more than I ever thought, and it was just.
I don't advocate drug taking or pill popping or drinking, and it is very, very. It's very dangerous.
You just did.
I'm just saying that I have noticed that when you said sleepy eyes, you drink, and it's like what Chrono says, but usually a very bad ending. So I would not recommend.
This is an observation, not a recommendation.
Would not recommend. And Xanax is the worst. You drink that. You drink with that. Like you have no idea how your car got in the front yard. No idea.
It's how people die.
Or whose yard that is. Yeah, it's how people die.
Someone's vehicle. Number two, Mike Carano.
All right.
Your second.
I'm going to go with what I just came up with.
I would like to unsay everything I just said.
I've seen this recently in comedies. I can't cite a great example. I like movies to be timeless. I like movies to be able to hold up for years and years and years
like
and
this podcast.
Become classics. Absolutely. Like you can listen to this 20 years from now. Nothing will take you out of it. The worst case scenario, you reminded me of this when you brought up Superman.
He's pointing right at me.
Superman being on that show is current topics. I've seen comedies do it.
Just
for
the record,
a current joke.
He wasn't really on the show. He just had the same job in the movie.
Okay. Either or.
He was a crab fisherman.
I've seen movies recently, not going to name them, but that make a reference to the Kardashians and other movies that bring up current topics, current TV shows. I feel the same way about cell phones. I don't want to see technology in movies because it's outdated so fast now that it just makes the movie look dumb. And someone brought this up to me one time when I said I don't like cell phones in movies. They're like, well, you see phones in other movies. I'm like, the phone that was a standard for 50 years is fine. That's historical.
Sure.
But now everything, you know, 5 years from now, it's not going to be this square with a screen on. It's going to be something else.
I don't think either one of you is going to appreciate this, but I know my buddy Logan will. Breaking Bad, they purposely use, like, the old flip phones.
Yeah.
And they all have the same phone because they want it to just kind of be like a timeless. Sure, there are cellular phones, but they're not updating. No one has an iPhone. You'll never see an iPhone in any of the episodes. And they do that purposely for the timelessness of it.
I thought it was just because they're poor.
No, Logan, because he's got an empire and he has
literally
hundreds of thousands of pounds of cash. That's how much money he has.
And
and
new cars.
Not the whole show.
Often new cars.
And he's hiding that.
I've seen little kids that don't have jobs and their parents don't make much money with iPhones. So apparently there's no barrier to having the world's most expensive phone.
It's because they want to keep it timeless. It's so little.
You know what? I was looking something up to make a point to your point. You're right. I was babysitting somebody and I saw Hercules, the Disney movie came out a few years ago.
Perfect example, because Robin Williams, is that the one where Robin Williams?
No, that's Aladdin.
Okay.
But Hercules is one of the Disney movies that least holds up, because it's peppered with What year did that come out in? 1997.
You're talking about
Aladdin. I'm talking about Hercules. It's peppered with pop culture references that are very specific to 1996, 1997, and does not hold up at all. It's also not a good movie.
Most throwaway kid movies
reason is because
are exactly
it's,
that.
It's what's on TV at the time or yes. what's popular at the time.
But yeah. I know this is sacrilegious and going to piss a lot of our listeners off because a lot of crossover, those that like the Seth MacFarlane. I like Seth MacFarlane as well, but his main brand of comedy is pop culture, recognizable reference humor. Like, do you get the reference?
From all
get
eras,
it?
Though. But from all eras.
No,
from
it's
the
usually,
fucking Broadway era.
Yeah, okay, on his cartoon, but like,
I
Ted,
love
Ted, for example. How does Ted end? The last thing you see is what fucking Taylor Lautner, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the last thing you see. That's the last joke.
I do.
It's like, will that joke be anything good 10 years from now? Will people even know who Taylor Lautner is?
When he won his second Oscar, probably, yeah.
Family Guy makes me laugh. I do enjoy it, but it's done. Whereas The Simpsons, 10 years later, you can watch The Simpsons and be like, that's
really,
a classic.
Yeah.
Family Guy will never hold up like that. And lately I've been having a problem. Maybe I'm becoming a douche or something because I'm a mean person and angry and I make fun of people all day, all night. But I'm starting to have a problem with Family Guy being cruel to people that didn't do anything to deserve it.
Yeah, sometimes
you know.
Is.
Sometimes they make reference to people that are nice people for being fat and being ugly.
But so does South Park. But South Park usually they can explain why, even if it's something as innocent as like, well, they're up for an Oscar. Phil Collins was up for an Oscar at the same time we were, and he won and we lost, so we're going
to
attack him.
But Family Guy, they made a reference to the chick that was in Titanic, for Kate Winslet, and then Peter goes, "Oh, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman," because she was fat. And I was like, that's totally uncalled for.
What about the
like,
and
the person goes, no, it's not. He goes, yeah, it is. And they went, oh, yeah. And they just made reference to her being unattractive and being fat. And I was like, she didn't do anything. She didn't.
There was one that was a total non sequitur, and if I recall. And it was Robert Redford just sitting in a doctor's office. And the doctor says, so what makes you want to have the face transplant that where you get all chicken skin for your face? And it's like, that's so mean. What did he ever do? He seems like a pretty nice guy. Why would they do that?
I know. That's funny.
But you liked it.
That's funny, but it's sort of easy and mean. You know what I mean? Because Seth MacFarlane,
I like the guy.
Eventually, someone can just go, I'm going to rip Seth MacFarlane for 2 hours and make fun of him and his, I like him too.
If I had never met Seth MacFarlane, I would think I would hate him.
Yeah. It may have been Hunchback Notre Dame. Now I feel bad because it may have been Hunchback Notre Dame. One of those two movies.
The Robin Williams.
All you do is look on that fucking computer. Give me that phone.
I know, but I don't just disappear for like 2 minutes.
The Robin Williams one, he makes a ton of topical references.
Yeah, Aladdin.
And it's just like, this is not. And you're
trying to recapture a lot of what couldn't be recaptured.
But you know the producers or whoever is like, it's Robin Williams. That's just let it go.
With Aladdin, this is going way back and it's just a little factoid, but usually what happens is you do the animations, you have a voiceover actor, and then you bring in the actual voiceover actor. Like, you have a stand-in who does the lines, then you have an actual voiceover actor who, like, ADRs the entire thing, watches it, and gives the lines so they match with the lips and whatnot. Robin Williams on Aladdin, they actually just, from what I read, and it's going way back now, but that was one of the first, if not the first, cartoon where they let him just ad-lib everything, and then they painted the cells to go with what he was saying because he's so crazy.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think you're mistaken because I think most animations are, the voices are recorded first, then they animate around the voices.
Number two for me.
The Simpsons does that.
Maybe.
Didn't you watch that South Park documentary, Anderson?
Yes, 6 days to air. Great.
Yeah, they recorded the voices first.
Well, this is different technology, though. This
number two for me.
Back when they used to do it, so they do that. That's all computer.
It really bothers me.
At the time, though, that was one of the first times. Jesus Christ!
It really bothers me in movies.
Really?
Jesus Christ! It really upsets me. Okay.
Are you sure? I'm just doing so upset. Go ahead, dude. Come on. What upsets you there, Bri?
I think it's creatively bankrupt when they have a fictional fraternity in a movie and the letters spell a word. I hate when the letters spell, you know, it's the Sigma Eta Chi house.
This
it's
is
the
your
sex
one?
House. That's the number two. I hate when it's, in three different movies, the Delta Iota Kappa house, the dick house. Oh, they're dicks. The fraternity guys. They're just dicks to everybody. Hey, listen, this is fucking nerd rage seeping in an uncreative way up like so much pus out of your skin.
No, come on.
Yes,
that's
in
no
Ken Hardly Wade, in Ken Hardly Wade, W, and Van Wilder. They all have the dick house. This is the Delta. Mm-hmm. Go, oh, they're dicks. Oh, they're frat guys. They're dicks.
They are.
Yeah, that's right. They are, obviously.
I don't think that Carano or I would ever notice it.
I know. I feel dumb now because I'm like, Really?
I have no idea. Is Lambda 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 a real frat or sorority?
No, that,
I have no idea.
It doesn't spell anything. That's just.
But still, I have no idea what is real and what is Alpha Beta Beta One.
No.
I have a question. Do most universities have the same names for the frat houses?
What's that?
Do most universities have the same name?
I don't even want to know. I don't want to know how any of that works.
There
I hate
are,
it so much.
There's about 50 or 60 national fraternities that are big and at a lot
no,
of
but I mean, if you go from to university to university, whether they're big or small, they're all Greek, right?
Yep.
And so a lot of them would overlap. You'd have the same fraternity or sorority at
but
one
they're
place.
All they're all chapters of a national organization. For example, my fraternity was also UCLA and Cal,
okay,
but not
right.
at Stanford and not at, you know.
Were you sex or
hey,
dick?
Logan, will you type in W-H-O-O and play that for me?
Don't play. Who cares?
Will you please play that for me? W-H-O-O.
Anyway, not funny when in Sorority Boys, they had the Kappa Omicron Kappa chapter for cock and the Delta Omicron Gamma chapter for dogs for the sorority dogs. Oh, they're ugly. They're ugly. Let's call them dogs. It'll be hilarious when they wear the shirts.
Yeah, that's,
a dog
that's an
them.
Easy laugh
not
and
funny.
Stupid.
Not funny.
It was funny, even though it has
Brian's
nothing to do
offended.
With the fraternity.
I am offended. I'm offended not at the fraternity thing, sorority thing. I'm offended at the lack of creativity. And like, if you were a nerd and you weren't cool enough to be in a frat, no, you like that.
What are you doing
cool,
right
get
now?
Get your revenge another way.
Brian, there's
don't
no
do
one.
This.
Honestly, Brian, you've come a long way.
Your revenge.
Yeah, you've grown up a lot.
Don't seek your revenge. Or you know what? Write a book where you talk trash about people.
I'm telling you this right now, and I'm no hyperbole here. When I first met you,
going to be upset about the
when I first met you, I'd be hard pressed to find somebody else that I knew that I could point a finger at that was nerdier than you. And you were in
absolutely,
a frat.
Absolutely,
you were in a frat.
But I'm not mad about it.
What I'm saying is you were in a frat. So yep. How nerdy do you got to be where you can't be in a frat? I don't
but is it
think
just
those guys
frat?
Exist.
Is it, cause I
think it's guys
in,
like me who don't like fraternities.
In Team America.
But you would never do this. That's not funny. That's not funny. Not creative. Not clever. No, you
in
would.
Team America, it was an easy joke, but it still made me laugh, and it still kind of held up was
Film
Actors,
Actors
Guild.
Guild.
They kept saying fag, fag.
Well, that was funny because it was a takeoff. It was a parody
yeah.
of SAG.
Yeah. But it was an easy joke, but it was funny.
Yep.
It's in the same vein as, and I still have not seen it, but Life Aquatic. Which I will eventually see, but the reason why I banned that movie was because he was making up sea creatures. And there's so many cool sea creatures. There's so many great ones out there. Just use the real ones. But he was making up fictitious sea creatures just so he could
that would only
animate
affect, that only upsets you.
Yeah, I know. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I think this is for bribery. But I'm sure there's other frat boys out there that'll be like, yeah, bro.
No,
totally.
This isn't a yeah,
fuck
bro
those
thing.
Nerds.
This is a aren't you clever?
Nerds.
Aren't you more clever than that? Aren't you creative, more creative than that?
Ooh,
that sea creature thing is like being a horse breeder and being upset because there's a unicorn in a movie.
Yeah, it's
there's
very
so
similar.
Many great horse breeds. Why would they do that?
Well, unicorn is a real fake thing. It's true.
It's not real.
It's a real fake
at one
thing.
Time, was it real?
What are we doing here? Where are we? I'm so lost.
You know what? You're right, though. I was nerdy when you first met me, and I'm still kind of nerdy, but you know what?
You're not nearly as nerdy.
But
you were
but you know what?
Thing,
worse. The thing is
there's
about
no way
nerds,
I'd be sitting here right now.
The thing is about nerds, right, Logan?
Nerds not the right word, because I
geek.
Like nerds.
Geek.
I like some nerds.
Thing is about
fine.
Geeks. You can,
I'm a
either,
nerd.
You can either blossom and spread your geekness and say, this is
Christ.
What I'm into. Come celebrate with me, other geeks. Mm-hmm. Or you can be withdrawn and bitter
and
angry.
Bitter
and I
angry,
hate
yes.
the jocks and I hate frat guys. Mm-hmm. That is the fucking creative bankruptcy that I hate.
Okay.
That's it.
Hmm.
Twice now.
You know what I'd like to see in a movie? A scene I'd like to see? I'd like to see some guy go up and part a horse's hair and there'd be like a horn mark where they cut it off.
Just
startling
just
into,
one time.
Into the movie. Right,
number one, Anderson. Number one for you.
Am I up to number one? I feel like this one deserves to be towards the end of this program. This is so upsetting to me.
Let's hear it.
And it happens all the time. And I don't like to cite examples, but one that definitely comes to mind. Movies whose name currently escapes me. Oh! Hold I'll on. Just use the movie that I just talked about because it's rampant. It's everywhere.
The best.
Man of Steel. Why are they all speaking English over there on this planet? What's going on with that?
They have evolved to speak English.
Why are they all speaking English? Mm. What's happening there? Valkyrie. Valkyrie is the movie. Bryan Singer movie.
That's
Valkyrie.
The most notorious Valkyrie. One.
Yeah. They all speak with like slight British accents, even though they're supposed to be in Germany. I guess they're doing some German accents as well, but it's still English. And
all over the place.
Now, every now and again, they'll do the sloppy, clunky, like, let's speak English, shall we? Let's practice our English. And then they switch over, but after speaking a few lines of German. But when they have a movie, especially it's a movie that's not a comedy, a movie that's trying to make a statement, a movie that's trying to be important and hope to be up for awards and stuff, and sometimes they do get up for awards, are just speaking English in the Third Reich, and we're supposed to just be okay with it because they have accents, it's fucking insulting. Because why? Because you have to put a Tom Cruise in that role. Otherwise, no one will pay to go see the goddamn movie. Right. You know what? If it's that important of a movie, why do you do it right? Why do you do it right instead of trying to make it for the masses, okay?
Yeah, go with Harrison Ford.
Oh, it's so upsetting. Or make that fucker learn German. Right?
I never saw the movies.
Apocalypto.
Good?
Apocalypto. As much as I don't like Passion of the Christ, they actually spoke that Aramaic or whatever fuck it was. He did it right.
Work.
What?
There's a little scene in the original Star Wars A New Hope where Carrie Fisher has an English accent for a moment.
Yeah, there's about three and a half scenes, then it fades away.
Drives me nuts.
So upset.
Drives me nuts.
Star Wars.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold.
And she tries to blame it on George Lucas.
I'm not crazy, and I'm not like to the nerd degree that I expected them to make up a whole new alien.
Klingon
is one, and I respect that.
Yep.
I appreciate that. All right.
Well, the hobbits have their own language.
They know that elfish. The elves spoke elven or elfish or elven or one or the other.
But honestly, if you're going to make a movie,
I'd like to talk to a scholar. Is it elfish or elven?
A linguist.
And it takes place in a country where the native tongue would be spoken at that time. Please, just don't have.
But then you might have subtitles.
You can't have that in a Tom Cruise movie.
Mm-mm. Just don't do it. I don't think that, and we shouldn't go see it. Mm. Right.
I agree.
Am I being crazy here? Am I being a purist?
No, this is why it's a pet peeve. This bothers you like the fraternity thing bothers me. It's like, I don't share your passion, but God bless you for putting it on your list.
You don't share the passion?
I don't share the passion.
Why? It doesn't bother you?
It bumps me. It doesn't bother me. They could have done... Like, what the fuck did I just... Yeah, the Inglourious Bastards. They handled it perfectly. You know, there are subtitles throughout.
Yeah.
I like that Quentin does that where they start off in German or French and then it transitions.
Naturally,
I kind of enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk in English.
Okay.
Number one for you, Mike.
They do that in Evita, the stage play, too.
Really?
I don't know why I brought that up. Okay.
So someone tells you.
I'm going to bring up one that's so obvious that it might be just dumb, but it really is a pet peeve of mine. And the reason it's a pet peeve is because all of the movies, it could just be my age.
You hate bad movies.
Bad movies are my pet peeve.
Poorly written
Why
films.
Why make them?
When the gunman comes in the theater and kills half the people, that's my pet peeve.
Wow. That is the number one for everyone.
No, I got to go with CGI. I don't like it. And here's the thing. Here's my angle on this. Is all of my favorite movies don't have CGI, and almost every movie I understand, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, you had to have it to make that movie. But I do think there's scenes that were so touching and moving, and I think you're taken out of it a little bit. Like at the end of the second or third or fourth ending of Return of the King, when everyone bows down to the hobbits, that movie, that part made me start crying. But then the camera pulls back, and I'm like, oh, it's so obviously not real. And I would rather have them do a close-up with 50 extras than pull back. Because I already knew those people were there.
Right.
And I also don't care to see things that are totally, totally fake. I get if it's just a movie which just crazy stuff is happening, where cars are flying over things and landing on bridges. Okay, I get it. But I don't care to see stuff that is in no way, shape, or form possible.
It's cheating.
That's just me.
It's a form of cheating. And yeah, there are a lot of movies that are being made nowadays that never could have been made before CGI, but they take it to lengths that don't need to be. They cheat too much. It's a slippery slope.
I think it's incredible.
It's like drugs. It's like, how much farther can we go?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable, but I also think it's along the lines of doing crazy tricks with things that are amazing at first, and then you're like, that doesn't really add to it, you know? Because all of my favorite movies, like 3 Days of the Condor or Godfather or any of this stuff, those movies grab you and you remember them forever. And the CGI movies, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going
to
hold a place. Yeah, in a place like
that. Well, it's definitely desensitizing us to movies and special.
I know
effects.
That's an easy thing to go after CGI, or it's the same with 3D.
But you know what?
I hate 3D.
Maybe you haven't noticed this, but what they're starting to do with the CGI, which is really sly and undercutting and creepy, is I've seen it at least twice now. Is CGI tears. Like if they got a kid actor and the kid can't, you know, well up a real tear, they'll put in a little CGI tear. And there's nothing that fucks with your emotions more than if you're actually buying the scene and then all of a sudden you see a cartoon tear. It's like, oh, you cheaters. You sons of bitches.
I thought you were going to say it's really gets you because it's
no,
so
it
real.
Doesn't. It's...
What about when CGI is used well, like to enhance a scene? I think, again, let's bring it back to The Perfect Storm. When the big, you know, wave comes.
The rogue wave.
That was effective. And Titanic used CGI effectively. They made the Titanic and the shrinking and the crashing and all that stuff. Do you like when it enhances the scene as opposed to is the subject?
I don't hate it. It's a pet peeve of mine because as far as my limited memory goes, I haven't seen something. I've seen other movies and other directors get more emotion out of you and a better reaction without CGI than I have with CGI. Like, I haven't seen something that was CGI that just brought me to the brink of, Oh my god!
Oh, you got to go see World War Z.
Okay, good
no,
point.
Don't
no,
do
but
that.
I
don't
I think that. A skilled filmmaker can sell a point without it. And I'm not even saying it's bad. I think eventually, I also just don't like the. I think it takes you out of filmmaking. You know, it's like having Instagram of film. You know, I mean,
it goes back to Lucas, George Lucas, and when he went to visit the set that Scorsese built for The Five Points for Gangs of New York over in Rome. And I guess Lucas went by to visit and see it, and he just turned to Scorsese and said, almost scoffingly, he said, you know, you could have done this all on a green screen back in New York.
Yeah,
and
that really
was not
me
impressed.
He
was not impressed
that
they actually built out
the
sets and everything.
I think
because it's all going to digital.
I think as far as a movie goes, I think a set is way better than a green screen because I think the actors buy in more. If you walk into a set, if you've been on good sets, you're like, wow, this is an amazing.
Especially in Gangs of New York with the tiered, you know, Irish settlement.
Yeah, yes. They pulled back fucking, and there was all those, it was like Hollywood Squares of violence.
That's right. Number one for me, number one. And this is one that,
that was funny.
It bothers me when my pet peeves are unnecessary. Like, if I understand the schwing thing, there kind of needs to be a sound for the people to know that, oh, it's a deadly weapon. I don't agree with it, but I can see where the filmmakers think so. Most of the time, a movie's soundtrack gets released before the movie. The soundtrack comes out the Tuesday before or 2 weeks before. When a fucking soundtrack's song titles, the tracks to, like, the score, when they list key plot points and sometimes spoilers, it drives me fucking insane. Okay, 1990.
When Princess Jasmine dies theme.
Okay, so when Star Wars Episode 1 came out, granted, bad movie. However, tremendous amount of hype. Everyone's anticipating Star Wars. No one knew it was going to be bad. They're all like, oh, fucking Star Wars Episode 1 is going to be amazing. I was anticipating it, of course, as a Star Wars nerd. And I went into what used to be called a music store. And I was like, oh, the soundtrack's already out. It was a couple weeks before the movie came out. I looked on the back. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. And then the three tracks on the end of the CD, Qui-Gon's Noble End, Death of Maul, and Qui-Gon's Funeral. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
That's
and
awesome.
I knew who Qui-Gon was, who Darth Maul
awesome.
Was. I'd seen the fucking trailer. It's like, what the fuck?
That is
why?
Great.
That's not necessary. Just call it the big battle at the end or funeral. You're like, oh, it's a funeral.
That's a very specific and a very funny
it's
one.
It's insane.
That.
Why would you do that? The fucking last track on the Sixth Sense soundtrack,
that's the best pet
Malcolm
so
is dead. That's the name of the track in the last of the
That's
Sixth
funny.
Sense.
You know what? Just today when I saw Dirty Wars, I sat through the credits like I often do, and I saw all the names of the songs, Brian, that they used, the original songs, all had drone in the title one time or another, because drones play a big part in that movie, and like one of them was like children's drone, women's drone, because drones were taking things out.
Do you think
the
composer is lazy or out to lunch, just completely oblivious, or fucking with people? Those are the only possibilities.
I don't even know if the composer names them. He might just name them like pieces.
If it's a celebrity composer, he's naming. If it's John Williams, if it's Howard Shore, he's
maybe
naming
maybe he's getting into big arguments. And fine, you just name them.
You know what? I would almost say I would almost say that sounds like a movie, like a production person's, a producer's idea. Like, well, people like the music when so and so dies. You know, let's title it "Death of."
That's so unnecessary. It's so wildly unnecessary.
I've never noticed that because I've never gotten that in the soundtracks where I'm going to buy it.
I have. I bought The Lost Boys the second that came out.
Well, I got the Pulp Fiction soundtrack before the movie came out, and I listened to that. They actually have clips of the movie on there,
yeah,
I think.
That was cool.
Which is pretty cool, yeah. But I guess I haven't had enough experience to actually get to that level where that actually happens.
Yes,
to me. That would be infuriating.
When they put out the CD
good
version,
one, Brad,
put the album version of the
that's
score.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so fucking upsetting. And it happened to me on one of the most anticipated movies of all time.
I loved soundtracks when I was a kid, and I bought all the movies I liked, but most of them were you get through the first three songs, and then it's like, what the hell's this?
Listener top five. I agree with you, by the way. Let's hear what the listeners had
and
to
then
say.
I have a disclosure, something embarrassing that I have
you
to...
You saw World War Z as driving?
Let me know when I should do that, because I'm very
That's
embarrassed
pretty embarrassing. All right, here we go.
All right, number five has dropped from number one since the last time we did this list, but it is people not saying goodbye when they hang up the phone.
It's a good one. And to pile onto that, dial tone immediately. Doesn't happen. Hang up on someone...
dial tone is so upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Number four... Bad audio levels when, as far as dialogue is concerned. So when the explosions are too loud and the dialogue's too quiet, you have to keep turning your TV up and down.
Huh. Yeah, that's a funny one, because a lot of time that's theater to theater if you're talking about theater.
Well, can I ask you guys this from your experience? Because I notice, I don't know if it's my television, I notice when I see a movie in a theater, it's fine. And when I watch it at home, there's parts that are way too loud and parts that are way too quiet. Is that the transfer or is that my TV and my particular system.
I think you're just more concerned about it because you're at your home. You're worried about your neighbors.
Yeah,
worried
maybe
about
you're
people
not really
in the
paying
house.
Attention. Yeah, I think. Plus, you know, like a lot of the home theater systems or the Blu-ray players, they have all the different settings. You can do drama on mine. You can do music. Mm-hmm. And you can do sports. Movie is one of them. The movie one is one of the worst settings.
Absolutely.
So I never put it on.
You got to have a guy come over and do it for you.
They're all going to be different for each one.
I
had a chick come over. She fucked it up.
Oh, of course.
Number three is unnecessary love interests. Now, that was number two on the last list, but it was unnecessary love in action movies.
Yeah, forced love
that
subplot.
That was on my top five. I think that was my number one last time. I was freaking out and calling it an epidemic, which it is, because they just jam it in there. They
shoehorn
it.
You, as guys, like when I was a kid, I'm into boobs. I never needed to see them in a movie, though, because it just seemed...
Never.
Like, this is
I
a
never
weird
did.
Oh, no, I needed boobs.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, pre-internet.
Because everyone
this
I went
like
saw
Mr.
Porky's
Skins
with...
Jr. over here.
Well, we had to sneak into Porky's. Someone had to buy us tickets.
I snuck into Porky's and got caught and kicked out. Porky's, same movie.
I bet you did, because they didn't take it lightly. And I remember everyone wanted to go in there to see boobs, and I just thought, this is frustrating that I'm sitting here with a bunch of my guy friends.
It's like going to a strip joint.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
I would have to check the date, but I feel like Erika Liniak popping out of the cake in Under Siege was a watershed moment in my youth. By the way, it wasn't water. It was a watershed moment in my youth.
Mm-hmm. Number two, fake or obscure technology. So when cell phone screen interfaces aren't what they're supposed to look like, or like the Iron Man lab interface.
Oh, yeah, the insane artificial intelligence person he has a conversation with.
Technology basically that doesn't exist. But
I kind of like that.
But it does exist in a modern
creative
world.
Oh, but that does exist?
In movies set in a modern time.
Okay, like Superman would be an example. We were talking about earlier in this episode. I like that, like what their technology was.
Well, they're on
an alien planet.
Yeah. Now, Iron Man is the perfect example because he lands on his rooftop and the machine takes off his suit completely. Or when he's building it, he tells the machine to paint it. No, this color. And it's done. Yep. And he doesn't share that technology. There's people on the street beneath him with shitty cars. And up ahead, he has the world's amazing body shop.
Yeah, you can make I know you're rich, but fucking hey, sell this artificial intelligence to somebody.
Yeah.
License the technology and make billions.
And the number one movie pet peeve, as voted on by our listeners, which was number three on the last list, is phone numbers that start with 555.
Yeah, it's awful. Terrible. Mm. Talk about taking you out. Jesus Christ. And we actually came up with a solution for that. Remember that? We said that the studio should just buy, like, what could it cost? $5,000 at the most to buy a line for, like, at least the next 200-300 years?
Do you mean $5,000? They could go out and buy 50 cell phones.
They could buy a number for $3,000, probably for a lifetime. You know what I mean?
Free on Google Voice. I signed up for Google Voice. They're like, here, pick a number.
Yeah.
They just make sure they own
that number, and if you call it, they just have a voice message there.
I agree.
Pimping their movies.
Cool. I would like to just give out my friends' phone numbers in movies and see if anyone bothers calling.
That'd be fun.
How many people, if you have a blockbuster, not even a blockbuster, a decent movie out, and you put someone's phone number there, I bet the only people
that'll
call are years later, some guy will be sitting around going, I want to check it out.
Yep. And then what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
It must have been something that happened. Goddamn lawyers.
Hey,
lawyers.
Was it a movie? I believe it was. Did you guys see it? I think we may have discussed it one time. The phone booth in the middle of nowhere.
Didn't talk about that.
There's a phone booth in Death Valley that somebody put out there. And it's realistically
works, it's
50 miles from nothing. There's just telephone lines. And somebody uploaded the phone number on the internet. And people started calling it. So then people started driving out there. And you had to have a four-wheel drive vehicle to get to it. And people would camp out there for days at a time and just answer the phone. And it rang 24/7. They eventually went and ripped the phone out. But it was interesting, the documentary, because people are standing on the phone booth and they're trashing it. But the phones remained for maybe years. And people would just camp out there and
answer
the phone.
It's not there anymore, though, right?
Corona would drive out there from San Diego.
I would have driven out there in a heartbeat. But it's gone now.
When I used to stay home from school, like in seventh grade, school had a payphone in the middle of it, and I used to just call it up on lunch and just talk to randos. I'm like, hey, who's this? Yeah, I don't know who you are. My name's Andy Cowan. I'm at home. Yeah, what's up?
I would request songs on K-Rock.
What?
Even though I had no way of listening to it. I was just bored at school.
Flying off the handle. Hey, quickly, let's gamble.
Flying off the handle. Wait, I gotta admit this full disclosure, embarrassing thing. Last time we did this, one of my top five was the digital slow motion where they take something like in Final Cut and they actually digitally slow it down. And it occurred to me the other day when I was transferring one of my student films that I used that exact effect some 12 years ago. And I was talking about how stupid you are if you use that. You don't have foresight and how embarrassing
you're
allowed to grow. And then I did it. But I'm going to, I have not, for that reason, I have not put it up on my website yet, but I'm going to do that soon.
I've always liked slow motion. Do you think it's abused?
Not if it's done right.
Yeah, if it's done right, it looks good.
But when it's digital, it's just awful. And I used it and disgruntled, which is starring my buddy Max. And I'm going to put that up there.
But I'm thinking that I do like that effect, and I can't remember seeing the movie.
Shot it on black and white, reversal. You've never seen slow motion used properly?
No. I was going to say, I can't think of an example of slow motion driving me nuts because it's used improperly. Like, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Okay, Friday Night Lights is a great movie. I love that movie, but they use all sort, like when he's going for the big catch, they digitally slow it down, and it looks ugly, it feels bad, and it just ruins, almost, it doesn't, that movie's still great, but it's just, it almost ruins that scene.
Does it drive you guys nuts? And I'll stop right now. I know the show doesn't go 3 hours, but something else just occurred to me is when they re-show a scene from a different angle. Like, it's so monumental. Like,
they used to do that. But,
and then they cut
Chips.
To another angle.
Oh, like right after?
Yeah.
Like immediately
yeah.
after.
On Chips, they do that. They'd show like from one angle, and then they show it slow. They'd usually be like slow motion from three, like yep. a cubist film. Like three different angles, yep. slow motion, because they obviously set up all these like, cameras.
Yeah. There's yeah. a lot big of money shot.
Yeah. And they had all the TNT in one scene. They got to make sure they milk it. Oh, so great.
What are we gambling on, Logan?
Well, do you want to pay off last week's?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. All right. Last week you gambled on World War Z. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 74%. Anderson bid 53%, and Brian was close with 72%.
Sounds like someone was looking at Rotten Tomatoes earlier that day.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Now, currently, the Wednesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for World War Z is 67%.
At least it's going in the right
dropping
direction.
A bit, but not enough for Anderson to take the lead. Brian's the winner.
I predict that this will drop down below 60 before it's said and done. It's not a very great movie.
I liked it. What was it at?
How come Rotten Tomatoes has become a gauge that people trust as being official? Because I hear a lot of people reference it.
It's not official, but it is. It calls all
the
reviews.
It takes all the reviews. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, it gives you a good idea, a good temperature gauge of what percentage of critics give this a positive review.
Well, because sometimes he's crazy. Like that movie that Anderson and I saw that was supposed to have been shot in an Iranian film on a cell phone. That thing had like, but it had a crazy
100%.
High. Yeah.
But I think only three people actually saw that.
You're talking about five broken cameras?
No, this is not a film.
Oh.
Which is not.
Anderson, you're in luck. I believe the Documentary Channel is showing this in heavy rotation this week. That's the 8, The Mormon Proposition.
I might send you a text in a couple days asking what movie I got to see. I might forget that.
8! Give me your hand. I'm right in on it. 8. Mm-hmm. 8.
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on White House Down.
Oh, fuck.
The hilarious looking movie.
You don't want to go for the heat?
You don't have to see this movie to gamble on it, do you? You're just guessing a point.
Yeah, it's not out yet. It looks awful. Oh, I shouldn't say anything. It looks great.
Is there any logic to this? Can you take into account like how many theaters the movie's opening in and try to...
No.
That cheapens it.
Yeah, it's just going to – it's going to be in the top three at the box office probably, which means all the critics are going to review it. It's going to have 150 reviews.
Let's hear it. Bet.
Fuck a duck. Settle down, Terry. Don't say fuck a duck, all right? We're above that.
Okay.
Above that.
I got a number.
You put 48.
Yep.
I'm looking at it right now. I put a little 59 there.
Ooh, we're actually kind of close. All right, 48%.
I love that you guys both referred to paper and a phone to do this calculation, and there's no calculation. It's just a number.
Well, we got to write it down because if we say it, then like if he said 48, and I thought I'd say 49, so we have to do it independently.
Okay.
All right.
You're both bluffing as if you're doing math.
Well, what's the square root of...
The Wednesday before release with 25 reviews, White House Down has a Rotten Tomato score of 44%.
Whoa!
Fuck!
Putting it almost in the middle, but not quite.
So it's below
mine. Oh, right,
you're
right.
Settle down, Brian. Settle down. It looks like an awful movie, but I thought the critics gave a pass to Fast and Furious. Why would they do it for this? Jamie Foxx can do no wrong.
Roland Emmerich and Jamie Foxx is yelling about his Jordans.
Hey, in a rare turn of events, a rare opportunity for us to be able to plug next week's episode, Brad, mm-hmm. which we rarely get to do.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing, because I'm going to be at camp.
I've written down right here, next week. Let's talk about next week real quick. Next week, Anderson is away. We pre-recorded an episode. We did our best to give you a full-ish episode of the Film Vault. We don't leave you guys hanging for a week. So next week, enjoy, top 5 movies you can stream instantly.
Yeah, even though I had one that was on my list that was very odd. It was streaming before I left the house, and it was not by the time we did the program. But also, I hate apologizing. It sounds stupid, but I go through bouts of depression, and this has not been one of my better weeks, and it's very frustrating, and it's debilitating at times.
You're doing a great podcast.
The night that we recorded this one, I'm definitely off my game, and it was starting to hit me, and I was doing all I could to fake it, and it was definitely affecting my mental well-being. Not that I was in a bad mood, but I'm definitely more all over the place than normal. But we still have some good information in there, I think.
I agree.
Some good recommendations.
I thought it was a good episode. Yeah. And you know what's great about this week, Anderson? You're gone. You're getting your soul scrubbed at camp.
Where'd you come up with that? Because that's what my friend says to me all the time.
And I think I you it was said so it clever. To me. I think okay. you said it to me.
She says you're going up to scrub your soul. Yeah.
Get a soul scrub and you're going to come back exfoliated.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
Play the music.
He's so proud of himself.
I'm so proud.
Exuberance just now?
That's the name of the book. Exfoliated.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys.
Let's talk about 3 minutes with Mike for a second.
Is it 3 minutes or 5 minutes? You start doing
5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes, but fucking Drew always goes with 3 minutes and I get furious.
You can see 5 minutes with Mike at MikeCarano.com.
YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, and the afterdisaster.com. Download us once a week, twice a week.
Once a week
episodes. Follow him at Mike Carano.
Play like you don't know.
I'm just going to listen to every episode.
You son of a bitch.
Is it bi-weekly? I don't know.
Is the show every day, you guys, or like once a month?
What's the name of it again? He'll text me as he's listening to it, like with critiques. And
follow
you know what? I don't like to pimp my own stuff, but mainly because of Carano's involvement and Tyler and his wit.
Who's Tyler?
The After Disaster is a fun show when we're hitting on all cylinders.
It's rare.
It's a good time.
It's rare, but
follow
him. It's way more fun for me to do than this goddamn show.
Oh, stop it! Follow him.
I just said it.
At Mike Carano on Twitter. Do yourselves a favor, Mike. I'm going to flatter you with a compliment. It's worth signing up for Twitter if you don't have it, just to follow Mike Carano. That's how much he'll bring joy to your life. Click on our Amazon banner at Amazon and Brian. Oh, a new website. AndersonandBrian.com. That's where you go to click on the Amazon banner, click through, and buy some shit. Like your old buddy who buys all shit for his office.
Yeah.
VIP. Very important purchaser. Thanks also to the Atomic Aces from Santa Cruz. Check them out. ReverbNation.com/TheAtomicAces. Also at AndersonandBrian.com. And what can I say? Vote on our top fives at The Film Vault on both Facebook and Twitter. Like I said, The After Is After.
Is anyone listening at this point?
I gotta say, this might be my favorite band you guys have had on the show.
They're good. Yeah. They're very good.
A genuine endorsement from the Atomic Aces. Anderson?
We do it for Van Gogh.